NBC News Radio, I'm Rosalind Jordan at the White House. Some tough questions for National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice as she appeared before the special panel looking into the 9/11 attacks. She said the Bush administration was sifting through lots of intelligence information before the strikes.
One of the problems here was it really was nothing that looked like it was going to happen inside the United States. The threat reporting was, the specific threat reporting, was about external threats.
Rice says the U.S. is now safer than it was before 9/11, but it's still not completely safe. Several foreigners have been reported kidnapped in Iraq, and the abductors say some hostages could be burned alive. Those who claim to hold three Japanese citizens are demanding that Japan pull its troops from Iraq. Tokyo is refusing. And the government says drivers should not expect relief from rising gasoline prices anytime soon. A new report predicts a gallon will average $1.76 during the summer. I'm Rosalind Jordan, NBC News Radio.
Your dog eats your new sofa. Pet satisfaction rating 3%. Your hairdresser doesn't know burnt auburn from burnt toast. Hair color satisfaction rating 5%. After years of marriage, your husband still leaves the seat up. Spouse satisfaction rating minus 2%. Your car insurance company saves you hundreds of dollars and handles your claim quickly and fairly. Car insurance satisfaction rating 97%. Oh, you must have Geico.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico. 1-800-947-AUTO.
Beginning April 11th, the History Channel is proud to bring you the Emmy Award-winning epic, Band of Brothers. The true story of the men of Easy Company who defined courage for a generation of Americans. The Chicago Sun-Times says it's the best miniseries in the history of television. Band of Brothers, executive produced by Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg. Sunday night at 9, 8 Central, only on the History Channel. Give it a hero's welcome.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 60 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. CDOT crews have cleaned up a huge mess in the high country. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Well, in keeping with the theme of huge messes, we have one. Eastbound I-76 at Federal Boulevard. One lane of eastbound traffic is open because of a rollover cement mixer in the center divider. Crane is on the scene trying to lift that big truck back up onto its wheels, so count on some very, very big delays on either side of Federal Boulevard as you travel along I-76. Everything else around town moving along in very good shape. No accidents or stalls to impede your way to lunch today. April is National Car Care Month. It's the perfect time to take your vehicle to the real car guys at Independent Service Centers featuring AC Delco Auto Parts. Visit acdelco.com for locations near you. Real car guys know AC Delco. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
In local news, I-70 at Silver Plume is open once again following a rock slide this morning. CDOT's Gene Town tells us what came down on the highway.
About four, five, six, seven boulders of the size 6-7 feet. That's a good size slide, and this is the type of thing we don't like to see because it makes it more difficult to move the residue out of the way and get traffic back moving once again.
Town says people heading to the high country need to remember this is the season for rock slides because of all the wet ground after the winter. This report brought to you by the Post News Marketplace. The Picnic Rock Fire near Fort Collins has been 100% contained now. The fire has burned about 8,900 acres. Larimer County Sheriff's Office is going to meet with the District Attorney's Office to decide on possible criminal charges for the starting of that fire. The fire destroyed one house, one garage, cost $2.2 million to fight. The fire was started when a backyard trash fire got out of control a week ago Tuesday. Colorado Senator Wayne Allard wants to know why the destruction of chemical weapons at the Pueblo Chemical Depot in Colorado is being delayed. The depot has been storing weapons containing mustard gas for more than 50 years. Allard has sent a letter to the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee asking for a hearing about delays at the depot and some other sites. Allard says divided management and a lack of funding could cause a violation of the Chemical Weapons Convention, which requires that all chemical weapons stockpiles are to be destroyed by the year 2012. The Colorado House and Senate have adopted a joint resolution demanding the return of the USS Pueblo from North Korea. USS Pueblo crewman Alvin Plucker attended the joint session where lawmakers gave him and a delegation from Pueblo a standing ovation. Plucker and 82 other crewmen of the Pueblo were captured and held captive for 11 months by North Korea in 1968. One crew member was killed. A joint resolution will go to President Bush in both houses of Congress. Petition drive in support of the Pueblo's return is also continuing. In sports, Colorado Avalanche Avalanche moved one step closer to the Stanley Cup last night with their 3-1 win over the Dallas Stars in the first game of the first round of the playoffs. Game 2 Friday night at the Pepsi Center before the two teams head off to Dallas for games 3 and 4 next week. Denver Nuggets scored a crucial win last night, beating the Phoenix Suns 111-96. Denver's tied with Portland and Utah for the 8th and final playoff spot in the West. Nuggets are in Houston tomorrow to play the Rockets. Colorado Rockies wrap up their 3-game series in Phoenix tonight with Joe Kennedy throwing for the Rocks in his first time ever facing the Diamondbacks. D-backs send Elmer Dessens to the mound tonight. Creating a website for your small business is just a click away with Post News Network at PNN.com. Web tools so easy you can even do it without the help of your kids. Visit PNN.com to get started today. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
The name in business is CNBC, and we've got it for you. Listen for hourly updates weekdays exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hey, what do you have there?
Oh, this? It's a ticket to a singles party at Coors Field Summit Room. I got this as a bonus for signing up at that singles company called Cottonwood Connection. They're having this great spring membership drive, so all their memberships are half off. Plus, you get this ticket to this party at Coors Field.
Sounds interesting. Tell me more about Cottonwood Connection.
This singles company is the best I've seen so far. They simply help singles connect through a variety of fun events and activities, and also they have this great profiling system that you can view other people's videos right on your computer at home.
I bet they're expensive.
Not at all. They're a quality singles company, and it won't cost you an arm and a leg to join.
Well, I'm not a big baseball fan.
Oh, there you go again, making excuses to get out of something that is good for you. Come on, step out of your box and step into what you want in life.
Ooh, will you buy me cotton candy or a snow cone?
Hey, that's not going to look cool in front of the women at the party, dude.
Call Cottonwood Connection at 303-424-2300 or visit their website at cottonwoodconnection.com and take advantage of their half-off special and free ticket to the Coors Field party. That's 303-424-2300.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Topping out at our average high temperature today, 59 degrees, but that's going to change as we head into the weekend. We have mostly cloudy skies today, scattered rain showers, chance of a storm. Later on tonight, the scattered rain continues down to 39, and tomorrow, scattered rain showers, mostly cloudy, isolated thunderstorms as well, high of 47. And for Saturday, we have a chance of a snow shower, cooler, high near 40. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
Partly cloudy and 60 degrees, KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin, our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock, and we have a number of guests with us today. We're going to begin with Laura Flanders, but later in the broadcast, Brian Greene, his best-selling book number 3 on the New York Times nonfiction list, The Fabric of the Cosmos, his previous bestseller, The Elegant Universe. He's going to be at Tattered Cover tonight. Laura's going to be at Tattered Cover. She's going to be at Tattered Cover Lodo at 7:30. She has written a book called Bushwomen, Tales of a Cynical Species, and I thought it would be really good to have Laura on today. Because in one chapter in her book, at least one chapter, is devoted to Condoleezza Rice. And, of course, today is the day when Condoleezza Rice, the eyes of the world, have been on her. Laura, thank you for joining us.
Happy to be on with you, Enid.
I know you do talk radio, and you do it in my old stomping grounds of San Francisco.
Well, that's right. Somewhere between San Francisco and New York. I just got signed up to join the Air America Network on weekends, so I'm actually in New York doing that.
Well, congratulations to you.
Thank you. I wish you were along.
Well, maybe I will be.
Come visit.
Talk to me about Condoleezza Rice. First of all, were you able to see any of the testimony this morning?
I was. I watched the whole thing on the networks this morning, and I thought it was great how seriously television took these hearings to play them live. We should see more of that. I was struck. You know, this is a woman, you have to bear in mind a little bit of history, and that's why it's useful to go back and look at these people's biographies. We've heard a lot about her personal history, you know, growing up in segregated Birmingham. That was the subject of many profiles last night. What we've heard less about is her record when it comes to foreign policy, and yet she's been a foreign policy expert to two successive Bush presidents. You know, in my view, her reputation outflanks a little bit her performance. It did in the first Bush administration. situation, and it does again today.
Well, let me ask you a question, because, you know, she does have a Denver history. She studied under Madeleine Korbel's father.
That's right.
Here at DU. And the other thing about Condoleezza Rice is that she's a specialist in what you could euphemistically call making buggy whips, because she's a specialist in the Cold War.
Well, that's
right. And there is no more Cold War.
Right. She's a specialist in the Soviet Union, a country that doesn't exist anymore. And that's part of what I'm thinking about. I mean, last time that she was in the White House before this administration, she failed spectacularly to anticipate the biggest power shift on her watch in her area of expertise, namely the collapse of the Soviet Union. Up until the very last minute, she was still advising her president to urge the Ukrainians, for example, who were organizing, mobilizing for independence, urging them to stay loyal to Moscow, and urging the president to retain strong relations with Mikhail Gorbachev, even long after others in the administration then with her, and again with her now, Dick Cheney, Wolfowitz, and so on, were saying, no, cut bait, let's team up with Boris Yeltsin, let's get in on regime change early on in the new republic. So that was, you know, part of the background. I think that she failed to anticipate the collapse of the Soviet Union. She failed to anticipate the rise of global terror networks.
All right, so how do you think that she did today? And by the way, if you're just tuning in, my guest is Laura Flanders. Her new book is called Bush Women, Tales of a Cynical Species. And she talks about Condoleezza Rice in the book. How do you feel she performed today in front of the 9/11 Commission?
Well, I think performed she did very well. She kept her cool. She kept, she remained engaging. She smiled. She definitely did a good performance, but, you know, she shied away from admitting any mistake was made of any kind. And I think, you know, we all know, we teach our kids, until you admit something happened that wasn't right, how can you make a change? How can you really correct the record?
How do you think this is going to play out? Because they did get her, Richard Benveniste asked her some very pointed questions. Bob Kerry asked her a number of pointed questions. I mean, she really had some pointed questions.
She sure
and
did.
She sure did filibuster. She filibustered a lot. She knew that they only had 10 minutes apiece.
Yeah, if she'd been in front of a criminal court case, she would have been charged with contempt for failing to answer the question. I mean, she wants to put blame on what she called a national allergy to domestic intelligence gathering, as if this was something new. I mean, anybody working in national security, you know, for the last 40 years knows that there's a tension between FBI and CIA, and that's something that has to be resolved and can be resolved. As members of the commission pointed out, doesn't take a lot. Bob Kerry said, you know, you can send it out on the listserv and people can talk to each other. She only promised that this administration would fight to implement the commission's recommendations if the president agreed with those recommendations, which I don't think bodes well. And you're absolutely right. Some of the questioning showed a remarkable, nay, startling failure to inform the secretaries of transportation, of aviation safety, and to keep abreast of what was going on with Saudi Arabia.
Here's what one of the things that Dick Clark has said. He said that when there were, during the millennium, in the run-up to the millennium, when they were getting threats in the Clinton administration, that LAX might get blown up and there might be other things that were going to happen. They had principals meetings every single day so that the principals got together. They were aware that there were problems out there. They were going back, shaking the trees, trying to connect all the dots, trying to shake loose any information that could be pertinent, that could be relevant. And as a result, they kept these terrorist attacks from occurring.
Yeah, I mean, Condoleezza Rice made it sound like these principals' meetings were just sort of the worst of turgid bureaucracy, and nothing ever comes from them. You're interrupted constantly by staff members. But I think Jamie Gorelick made an important point where she said, you know, the Secretary of Transportation did not hear the warnings. The secretary that you say you were aware of, the Secretary of Aviation Safety was unaware. The field officers all around the country didn't get the word. I mean, I think it'll
are
be
we talking about Blinkered? Are we talking about Blinkered? Are we talking about low IQ? We're talking about a shift in perception, because they were so fixated on something that no longer existed that they couldn't see what was under their nose.
It is partly that, and I think we're also talking about the most secret administration in our lifetime. I mean, John Dean, the former counsel to President Richard Nixon, I just had him on my show on the West Coast, he says this is worse than Watergate. These people came in with a tighter idea of secrecy than any administration, including Nixon's, and we all know how paranoid he was.
Tell me about Condoleezza. The one thing she has been brilliant at, I think, is concocting her career and inventing herself. How has she managed a rise on so little substance?
Well, you know, I don't think that's this. I mean, she graduated cum laude from Denver University at age.
Oh, yes, but it's not. Laura, darling, it's not Harvard. It's not Oxford. It's DU.
I know, it was only cum laude. I mentioned it on purpose. But, you know, I mean, I think she got seduced by the right. I think she got embraced by the Hoover Institution. You know, I might not have been seduced. You might not have been seduced by Cap Weinberger. But it worked for her, and she was well rewarded with years of stipends there. The right really knows how to reward their own, and they were in a period of desperately trying to change their image from the old kind of white hooded segregationists of the past eras. This was a time when they were cultivating all sorts of folks to try to change their image. And to be fair,
but why is she? But how? But George Shultz, you documented the fact that George Shultz took her under his wing.
Well, you know why he did, and because he had an eye to the corporations, Bechtel and Chevron. He got a receipt on the Chevron Corporation board right after she left the Bush administration, where her Sovietology skills were critical, not in anticipating, you know, big world power shifts, but in getting Chevron in on the ground on some of the most valuable oil contracts in the former Soviet republics. She came in very handy for 10 years working for Chevron.
But here she is, a Sovietologist, and yet you're saying, Laura Flanders, author of a new book, Bush Women, Tales of a Cynical Species, you're saying that even as a Sovietologist, she didn't see the train coming. It practically mowed her over. So she has a reputation for being brilliant in an area that no longer exists, and she wasn't so brilliant in, when it did exist.
I think she has a public reputation for being brilliant because it's been said over and over and over again. I think she has a presidential reputation for being loyal, and she has been loyal to the House of Saud. Since Bush's father's day, she defended that administration, even once she left office, defended their policies towards, among others, Saddam Hussein.
Wait. You said she was loyal to the House of Saud, or do you mean to the House of Bush?
House of Bush. Just a little slip there.
All right.
The House of Bush. Exactly. This is somebody who has been loyal to the Bushes, and I think that loyalty is the number one most valued asset in this administration.
How can she be? She spends every weekend with them, it has been reported, or most weekends with Laura and George W., whom I refer to as Dickie, so that I can say that there are two dicks running the White House. So, Laura, so is this how can you possibly, I mean, don't you need some downtime when you are really operating at such a high level? You need some downtime,
well,
first of all.
Well, you raise a very good question. I mean,
and is there a menage a trois going on here, if not intellectually, in fact? I mean, what is the story?
I don't want to go there, and I don't go there in the book, and she says she has a private little cottage, and I'm just going to stick with that.
I mean, would you want to spend every weekend with your boss, however much you might love your boss?
Thank you. No, thank you. No, I think you raised an interesting question, and the fact that it's raised so rarely, I think, it speaks still to the stereotypes and some of the blinkers in our society. But, you know, I mean, this is a woman who has way too much on her hands. I mean, she has been made in charge. Last fall, she was put in charge of reconstruction in Iraq. She was put in charge of overseeing the whole transition plan inside Iraq from Washington.
We can see what a fabulous job she's done there.
How can you do that and be on television as much as she's on and be in charge of national security and working on campaign issues? I mean, I think she has way too much on her hands, and we should relieve her of a lot of it.
Well, I think I'm in favor of relieving this entire administration of having way too much on their hand and not nearly the intellectual power.
She wants to be NFL director. I think we should let her.
Oh, please, and go. Condi, whatever you do, try for that concert piano career. We want you to do that. What do you think the fallout is going to be, Laura?
Well, I think that the public are pretty clear what the commission's recommendations are going to be. And as I said, I think that one of the big questions is going to be, will the commission's report that has to be vetted by the White House be released before the election? I think the fallout will be that the public are now much more sensitive to the disputes going on, the questions lingering over this administration. And that, with the background of what's happening in Iraq blowing up in our faces, I think... it's going to make it a very hot campaign season.
Well, not only a hot campaign season, but I think what has to also be factored into the equation of a hot campaign season is the whole scandal involving e-voting. So even if it's possible to unseat the present administration legally fair and square, if the voting tallies aren't fair and square, and you probably know about
the
questions surrounding e-voting, the fact that Johns Hopkins University did a study, State of Maryland did a study, and you can hack the system, you never leave any fingerprints or footprints. It's a very troubling development.
No, it goes back to transparency. We need transparency in government. We need transparency in our voting machines. And we need to have some confidence that our democracy still exists, still can live to make new decisions another day.
All right. In the Los Angeles Times, before we say goodbye to each other, and I know you have to go, and I want to tell people again, you're going to be at Tatter Cover Lodo tonight at 7:30.
Right.
My guest, Laura Flanders, her new book, Bush Women, Tales of a Cynical Species. This fallout, what is going to happen with Condoleezza Rice? I mean, right now she thinks she did a great job in defending the administration. But I'm wondering if really that's the taste that's going to be left in everybody's mouth. Because I think fundamentally what they don't want revealed is, A, how little prepared they were and how incompetent they are. And how much Dickey is really not in charge. It is said, his biographers say, that they bring him a very narrow range of choices. You know, President, sir... is that glass half empty or is that glass half full? Maybe I think that's the kind of choices that he's getting.
Yeah.
I think that's, I have a feeling that that's one of the things that they want to hide. But what, how do you think this is going to play out in the near term, not the long term, but the near term?
The near term, you know, I am doubtful that Condoleezza Rice will take a bigger role in the next Bush administration, if next Bush administration there be. I wouldn't
be surprised
if she actually came out of the White House, because I think she has political ambitions down the road.
The L.A. Times reported that, depending on her testimony, not only what the weight of what happened to the future of the Bush administration would be weighing, but also her possibilities for cabinet level, you know, Secretary of State, etc., her further political ambitions in a second term.
Well, she used to be interested in the governorship of California. I would look more in that direction for her future, and I don't think that's out of the question.
I don't think that would happen right now.
Well, maybe not right now.
I don't think that would happen right now.
I think we could see still a political future for Condoleezza Rice, but not necessarily in the White House or in the cabinet. But, you know, the jury's out. It's a long time before November 2004. But I do think that the public saw her rattled at the last part of this testimony today. And I particularly think, you know, when she was asked, were you aware that in the immediate run-up to 9/11, the INS rules were changing such that Saudi Arabian citizens could get visas to come to the United States without even showing up at the embassy, that she was oblivious of that kind of thing, I think, will remain in the public mind.
Thank you so much for joining us. My guest, Laura Flanders, her new book, Bush Women, Tales of a Cynical Species. You can meet her tonight at Tattered Cover, Lodo, 7:30. Thanks, Laura.
You're welcome, Enid.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Across Denver and the Front Range, more and more of you are choosing AM 1150 KNRC as Denver's premier talk station. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Dear smokers, my name's Megan, and I'm here to ask you to stop smoking. My daddy used to smoke. He was always promising to quit. He finally did. But then it was too late. He had cancer, and now he's dead. I'm only 10 years old, and I miss my dad. He was my best friend, and now he's gone.
If you're ready to quit smoking, we can help. We're the makers of Smoke Away, a product clinically tested and proven to eliminate your cravings and have you smoke-free in just 7 days. It's all natural and nicotine-free, and best of all, it's guaranteed to work or your money back. Call us today. Thousands have already quit using Smoke Away. Shouldn't you?
Please quit smoking.
Call now for your risk-free trial. 1-800-219-2704. That's 1-800-219-2704. Money back if you aren't cigarette-free in just 7 days. Call toll-free. 1-800-219-2704. That's 1-800-219-2704.
AM 1150 KNRC, Radio Disney, and the Denver Zoo are teaming up to celebrate the return of spring during Great to Be Green on Saturday, April 10th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Denver Zoo. Bring the whole family. There will be lots of great events for kids, like a scavenger hunt, close-up encounters with wild animals, and an opportunity to learn how to help save animals all over the world. Great to Be Green this Saturday at the Denver Zoo, brought to you by Radio Disney and AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Sue Herrera, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are mixed at this hour. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 29 points. but the NASDAQ is up 4.5. A good first round of major earnings reports today. General Electric saw profit growth of 10% or better in 9 of its 11 units. The parent company of CNBC is seen as a strong gauge of the overall economy due to the conglomerate's diverse stake in various sectors. Shares of Yahoo surging today, that after the internet company beat analysts' expectations and recorded a quarterly profit that surpassed its earnings even during the dot-com boom. Elsewhere on the good news front, strong sales at the nation's retail chains last month. Walmart, Costco, Limited Brands, and Nordstrom all reporting good numbers due to warmer weather and the appeal of spring fashions. Putnam Investments will pay $110 million to settle improper trading allegations. The SEC and regulators in Massachusetts had charged that firm with tolerating market timing trades by favored clients. Sue Herrera, CNBC Business Radio.
Get the good stuff.
Green Streets Department at Napa Auto Parts for all the performance and appearance products you need for your sport compact car. While you're there, pick up a Napa Extreme Streets hat for just $7.99. It's a great looking flex fit hat stitched with top performance logos. And you can also register to win a tricked out Ford Focus. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. See Napa Auto Parts stores for official rules and complete details.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
Do you want to save as much as 50% or more on your prescription medications? Did you know that millions of Walgreens customers already do? Talk to your Walgreens pharmacist about generic substitutions. By law, generics contain the same active ingredient as the name brand equivalents. This means that you get the same quality medication for less. Generic substitutions. One more reason why Walgreens is the pharmacy America trusts.
Thirst for knowledge is quenched here. The most entertaining talk shows in Denver.
Hear both sides.
Hear both sides on AM 1150 KNRC. And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
303-382-1150 is the phone number if you want to join the conversation. And the time is 12:26. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. And I don't know if you saw the Condoleezza Rice testimony, but that's what I want to talk about later in the broadcast. We're going to be joined by best-selling author Brian Greene. He has written a book called The Elegant Universe. It's number 3 on the New York Times nonfiction list, so it would be useful to look at more universal issues than what we're dealing with now. Also, I want to remind you that I will be helping to lead a book discussion at Lodo Tattered Cover, Monday, April 19th, 7 p.m. The book in question is Leif Enger's Peace Like a River. It's the One Book, One Denver project. Also, I'm going to be live from the Denver Press Club this coming Friday. It's the baseball edition. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150 if you want to join the conversation. One of the things that we talked about yesterday was a Doonesbury cartoon, Condoleezza Rice, and Gary Tutua called her brown sugar. And I wanted to know what your thoughts were about it. I talked to Don from Denver and a number of others of you. It didn't really, we didn't talk a lot about it because it really didn't take off very much. But I was uncomfortable with it, and I want to play you, some clips from that. I also shared with you today's Doonesbury, and I don't know that I think this is very nice, to tell you the truth. I'm no Condoleezza Rice fan, but I don't know that it was right for Gary Trudeau to refer to her as careful brown sugar. It's like the president talking to her today's Doonesbury, or in a recent Doonesbury. So, yeah, actually, is today the 7th? If today is the 7th, it's today's Doonesbury. What do you think about that? And here's the second clip. Let's see if we have this.
Right.
I'm with you, Don. I'm a little bit offended. I like Gary Trudeau's work a lot, but I'm a little bit offended by this one. I thank you for the call. So, there you go. So, the reason I bring this up, because the morning host called me all kinds of names, bigot, and so on, because I brought up the subject. Now, on my show, we talk about everything. We don't limit the conversation. We talk about it all. And you have to ask yourself, on a day when the eyes and ears of the world are on Condoleezza Rice testifying before the 9/11 committee, to devote most of your show to Enid Goldstein, I mean, you have to ask yourself about the obsession level that would be involved there and the inability to get phone calls on your own unless you talk about Enid Goldstein. So I should write Jimmy Lakey a thank you note for talking about me for most of his show today, because I understand he had a lot of phone calls and I understand that usually he doesn't. So I guess this was a boon for him. But again, why is he so hung up on what I have to say? He's hanging on every word, which actually, this is a very good thing. I wish I could say the same about his show, but I'm busy prepping when he's on, so I don't really have a chance to hear it. And if I did, would it be as engaging as apparently my show is to him, where every word is seized upon, hung up upon, devoted three or four, half the show or a whole show to today? So Jimmy Lakey, wherever you are, and I know you're probably listening, because how could you not listen? What I do is so fabulous every single day. Well, we try to make it fabulous every day. Some days are better than others. Thank you so much for devoting most of your show to me today, when in fact Condoleezza Rice is testifying before the 9/11 committee. So anybody who wants to comment on that, and Jimmy Lakey, if you're going to devote your show to me, get it right. You know, you said I was a bigot because I was endorsing what Gary Trudeau, or you indicated that, and that's not the case. You heard the clips. I was uncomfortable by what Gary Trudeau had to say, but I was tossing it out there. So before you go after me, get your facts lined up right. And when you said that you hijacked some talking points that I got, I've never gotten talking points from anybody, so you must always hijack them. I don't know. They're not in my mailbox. Are you stealing my mail, Jimmy Lakey? What's the story? But I am not like, Mr. OxyContin across the way, excreting Republican talking points. I don't know what the talking points are, but I'm glad that you know what they are. Maybe you'll let me know what the talking points are. I make it up myself. I create it out of my own thoughts, imagination, and wisdom. I, like the conservative hosts, don't need someone to tell me what to be talking about today. 303-382-1150. So if you want to comment on any of this and Condoleezza Rice's testimony, I would be delighted to have your phone calls. Because I'm not so sure. When I tuned in, I have to tell you, I went, my ice cream pies were a success, but that lemon one wasn't so hot last night. It was too tart. And Marzix, you told me that was a good lemon gelato. It wasn't so hot. It was too tart, that lemon gelato. We got to find a better lemon. If you know where I can get a better lemon gelato, I want to hear about it. So that wasn't so hot, but the other one was good. And so here we were with our friend, the opera singer from Venice, who's actually an American and was doing all these auditions, and I think they all went very well. So we were all up late. We made dinner, and it was great. And I didn't actually watch the testimony until about 45 minutes into it. So I watched most of it. But here I was also trying to prepare the show. So I was getting bits and pieces. Where I really started to perk up was when Richard Benveniste started to question Condoleezza Rice. And he started out nicely, and he was very tough with her. And there were some other people who started out very nicely, 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 and in a very nicely, nicely way, they put her feet to the fire. And I don't think it was indicated that Bob Kerry really sort of outed a presidential daily briefing, which the headline of which, and I've got to dig this up, it's in here somewhere in the testimony because I've got a whole big pile of testimony in front of me, but along the lines of the daily briefing for, was it August the 6th, which was headlined how Al-Qaeda is going to hit the United States or run into build. I mean, it was a horrible headline. I'm getting it wrong, but you get the sense of it. So that really was outed. That had been previously classified. They couldn't say the name of the briefing, the President's Daily Briefing, which basically laid it out for the President. Just the title laid it out. Bob Kerry made that public. A lot of stuff they were asking to be declassified. So although Condoleezza Rice filibustered and she was nicely, nicely, and she did everything that and was a really loyal attack dog for the administration, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure there isn't going to be some a bitter taste fallout from all of this. 303-382-1150. We'll see what the pundits have to say, and we'll see what the reporting is, and we'll see what the families feel about how she has testified. Linda in Englewood. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi. Listen, you're absolutely correct. You have a fabulous show, and I'm hoping that Jimmy is listening to you more.
He must be listening to every single word.
I think that is so wonderful because, you know, the man is seriously disturbed. I think I had mentioned this before, and I had disagreed with him on something.
But you know what I say? When people call in and say that they disagreed with Doug or Jimmy or somebody, I always say, look, I didn't hear it. because mostly I haven't heard it.
Right.
And I always say, take it up with the host because I really can't address it if I haven't heard it. And I don't diss my colleagues because we all work together. This is, we all have different opinions on things. This is a very new enterprise that we have going on here. And to cannibalize another host in order to get your own phones to ring, I think does the whole operation a disservice.
Did that to you. I only caught a few minutes this morning, and it was like you had approved of the Doonesbury thing that said,
He didn't listen long enough, or if he did listen long enough, he didn't have the intellectual horsepower to hear what I was really saying.
And he only played like a tiny little bit of the clip, and I think it is so unfair for hosts to do that to other hosts.
Well, I think I think I have been, if anybody has heard my position on Paul Child's shooting and how James Turney ought to be fired, I have been a very strong supporter of the African American community here and every place else. That doesn't keep me from dissing people that I don't agree with, and I don't care what their race or religion is if I don't agree with them. But you can't say that I'm anti a whole class of people. That would be certainly not be accurate, and that would be deeply unfair.
So I just called in to stand up for you.
Well,
and
thank you, Linda.
For taking my call.
You know what Groucho Marx said about Margaret Dumont in a movie? He said, "I'm protecting your honor," he said to her, which is more than you ever did.
I'm protecting your honor, exactly.
Thank you, Linda. 303-382-1150. We're talking about the Condoleezza Rice testimony, which really should have been the focus of everybody's attention today because it was, I mean, everybody broadcast it. If you were on watching MSNBC, if you were watching CNN, if you were watching anything, you were watching Condoleezza Rice and her testimony. And I would like to know from those of you who watched or listened to the testimony, I would like to know how you felt about it, what you thought was uncovered and revealed. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 12:35, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 61 degrees. A rock slide that closed I-70 has now been cleared. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Still have big problems eastbound I-76 at Federal Boulevard. The rollover cement mixer is now back up on its wheels, but until they can get it out of the center divider, you'll still have some major congestion both east and westbound I-76 approaching Federal Boulevard. Other two freeway problems right now, an accident southbound I-25 at County Line Road, blocking lane number 4, traffic jam back to Arapahoe Road, and northbound I-25, very heavy from Colorado Boulevard up to Washington Street. That's because somebody's trying to change a flat tire in the lanes of traffic there. New accident just coming in southbound I-225 as you make the transition to Tamarack Parkway. 12th and down in Capitol Hill, a minor injury accident there. That one should be out of the way in the next 5 minutes or so. Prevent crabgrass and feed your lawn this spring with Scott's Turf Builder with Halt's Grabgrass Preventer. It deep feeds your lawn and prevents crabgrass seeds from germinating. It's available at Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
CDOT crews spent a few hours this morning cleaning up a big rock slide that shut down I-70 near Silver Plume. About a half dozen 6 to 7 foot boulders came down on the highway because of wet ground. CDOT says we're in the rock slide season, so motorists in the high country need to be extra careful. This report brought to you by Albertsons. Denver area home foreclosures are on the rise. They were up last year, and for the first quarter of this year, they're 67% higher than during the same period last year. The economy and companies outsourcing jobs are partly to blame for those foreclosures. The Larimer County Sheriff's Office is planning to meet with the DA's office to decide whether charges should be filed in the Picnic Rock fire. The fire began a week ago Tuesday when a backyard trash fire got out of control. The fire, which is 100% contained, now burned 8,900 acres, destroyed a house and a garage, and cost more than $2 million to fight. Going on now at Albertsons, buy a GE chest freezer for only $159.99 and get $159.99 in free groceries. See store for details. While supplies last, Albertsons, helping make your life easier. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 12:38.
The top names in news are NBC and CNN.
Guess what? We've got them both.
AM 1150, KNRC.
Money. It burns a hole in your pocket, makes the world go round, and it's the root of all evil. Money matters. But just how much? That's the question a man named William Shakespeare asked himself before writing The Merchant of Venice. Shakespeare's Merchant masterfully examines just what money can do to friends, lovers, and enemies. It's quite a play, still funny and thought-provoking 300 years later. Luckily, the Merchant of Venice plays at the one place in town that will do it justice. The Denver Center Theater Company, with rich costumes, superb acting, and really comfy seats. You get your money's worth. Just be forewarned, tickets are a commodity. Buy your seat today or it's likely to be gone faster than you can say, ka-ching! The Merchant of Venice, only at the Denver Center Theater Company. March 25th through April 24th. Call 303-893-4100 or visit denvercenter.org.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. A cool down as we head into the weekend. Mostly cloudy skies, scattered rain showers, chance of a storm, high of 59. Later on tonight, scattered rain down to 39. And tomorrow, keeping the clouds, scattered rain showers, isolated storms, 47. By Saturday, we have a chance of snow showers under mostly cloudy skies and a high of near 40. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
61 degrees under partly cloudy skies. KNRC News Time is 1240. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Evelinda Irvin.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
I'm Tony Dezuri with your KNRC Masters Golf Tournament Report. Nobody has been able to beat Justin Rose's 67 from earlier this morning. He is your clubhouse leader at 5 under par. Chris DeMarco also in. He fired a first-round 69. Jay Haas is minus 3. Everyone else minus 2, including Colin Montgomery, Phil Mickelson, 2000 champ Vijay Singh, and Philip Price. Again, Justin Rose, your clubhouse leader at Augusta. He shot an early morning round of 67. With your KNRC Masters Golf Tournament Update, I'm Tony Dezuri, KNRC Sports.
The market goes up and the market goes down. The name in business is CNBC, and it's exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1242 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And, of course, the focus of the conversation today is Condoleezza Rice's testimony. If you have any observations you want to make about it, how you think this is going to affect the administration, whether it's going to have any effect at all, whether it's going to have any fallout, 303-382-1150. Let's go to the phones and to Bob on a cell. Hi, Bob. You're live with Enid.
Yes, how you doing?
Doing well. And are you a first-time caller, Bob?
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. We have something for you. There you go. Your life has been transformed. You're not a talk radio virgin anymore.
Well, no. I got onto your station a couple of months ago.
How'd you find us?
Just happenstance. Going through the dial. That was it.
Okay. And?
And my only reason for calling today is that I like your show. I like some of the earlier shows, but the last few days there's been so much animosity apparently between like Jimmy Lakey, yourself, that seems to be the focus of the show.
Well, yeah. It has been for him. When people call up and diss the other host to me, I always say, take it up. They're my colleagues. Take it up with them directly. I didn't hear what they say. But to have made me the subject of a show, I have to write him a thank you note. It's a lot of free publicity. But to have mischaracterized my position is unfair and inept. And you have to ask yourself, with so much going on, Condoleezza Rice testifying 9/11, to take off and diss a colleague just to get the phones ringing, I don't know, to me would indicate a certain intellectual paucity, but what do I know?
Well, I'm not sure. The only point is that, as I told the screener, you know, this keeps on. I may have to, I left K-How to listen to you guys. But if this, you know, it just, you're kind of,
I'm with you, Bob. I'm with you. I think there's enough. I think there's enough to talk about in legitimate news stories and not to go after each other.
Yeah,
so I'm definitely with you on that.
Without going after each other. I mean,
yeah. No. I think when you see hosts do that and you start they start to cannibalize each other, it's never a good sign for the radio station. It's never a good sign for a host. I think because it means that they haven't got anything better to talk about. And believe me, there's so much going on right now that is so completely important that there's a whole lot more important
stuff to
talk about.
This morning, before I even started listening to Jimmy on the way to work, I watched most of about the same amount, I guess, you watched of Condoleezza's testimony, and my opinion on that is totally off the wall here, but...
All right, what do you say? You watched the testimony. I want to know from people who did watch. Did everybody make it I put a note up on my television set so I wouldn't forget that because sometimes things can fall between the cracks. I wanted to watch the Condoleezza Rice testimony. It's one of those making an appointment viewing situations. You saw it. What do you think about it?
I have 2 points. One is I think that the one reason they waited so long to let her go before the commission was that she was being coached.
She was what? Being coached?
Being coached as far as...
No, I disagree. Well, I'm sure she was coached, but I will disagree with you as to why they waited so long to make her available. I think they were going to try and stonewall, and when public opinion did not go their way, they were forced into it by political pressure.
That's exactly my second point, is I think that they ended up being forced into having her testimony when they didn't want her to go out there because it's going to be controversial. It's going to be contrary to most of the other information that's already been put out there. And so when I get home tonight and I find out what's going on, I'm going to see, you know, the feedback. But I really think what she's testifying to is there's going to be so many discrepancies.
Oh, I hope that that's the case. Bob, I thank you for the call, and I hope you'll call us again. 303-382-1150. I think she's opened a couple of doors anyway. And as we all scrutinize the testimony, maybe more will be revealed. Charles in Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, Enid. I love your show. You're
Thank
my
you.
Jewish princess.
Have you ever called the show before?
Oh, yes, I have. This
oh,
is
okay.
Charles from Aurora.
Okay.
And I love your show.
Thank you.
And I can't stand Lakey in the morning. Okay. I can't even listen to KNRC because of this guy. He's just so pro-Bush. It's a joke. And the narration. I mean, I'm trying to listen to the thing with Condoleezza, and he's narrating all through like we're ridiculously stupid. We don't know what's going on. He has to help us out. And tag us along, and thank you.
All right, well, call him and tell him that.
Oh, my God. I love your show.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the call.
Bye-bye.
All right, 303-382-1150. Joanne, calling from Westminster. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi. I had a question for you about some of Dr. Rice's testimony.
Yeah.
I was wondering what significance you attach to the title of the PDB August 6th memo.
Did you hear that part of the questioning?
Yes.
What did you think about it? When Bob Kerry was questioning her?
Yeah.
All right, do you remember the title?
Well, actually, wasn't it Senator?
I thought Benveniste?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
The commissioner,
his name.
Richard Benveniste.
Yes.
I thought it was Bob Kerry.
Oh, I thought it was the other guy.
Well, let's see.
Well,
regardless,
the question pertains to the title.
She asked... Oh, no, you are right. It is Benveniste.
Okay.
Yeah, you were right about that, but I have to find out, because I want to get the title exactly right. Do you remember it?
Yes.
Okay, right. Give it to us.
Bin Laden determined to attack inside the United States.
Okay. And that title, by the way, has been classified up until this minute.
Well, actually, no. I was listening to some of the pundits afterwards, and they said it had been released prior to today in two newspapers.
Oh, all right. Because the account I had said that Benveniste outed it.
Yeah, I know. I've heard that, too. But then they had some people on both Fox and I believe it was
Fox.
MSNBC.
Fox.
With Hardball. What's his name?
Chris Matthews.
Matthews.
That's where I heard him say that it was... All right, go ahead.
Well, anyway, I was just wondering what significance you attached to that title. Because you seemed to think that was really significant. And I didn't understand why.
You don't understand why?
No, not in terms of knowing about a threat. No, I'm just wondering, because if that title came out today, so it's true today.
Give us the title again.
Bin Laden determined to attack inside the United States.
Okay, and this is August the 6th.
August 6th, 2001.
To attack inside the United States.
Yeah, and I was just wondering what significance.
I think that's enormously significant when you are the president and you notice the circumstances around it.
Yeah,
here was the environment. The environment was that the intelligence chatter had heated up in a huge way around that time, and now you get a president's daily briefing saying Bin Laden determined to attack inside the U.S. She was saying a lot of her testimony was we didn't know where it was going to come from. We weren't sure it was going to happen inside. I mean, this really looks like they are not taking it seriously. Now, I want to contrast this with what Richard Clark, his testimony was about the Clinton administration. When they got increased intelligence chatter or increased intelligence or more intelligence indicating that there was going to be a terrorist attack on Los Angeles, LAX, Los Angeles Airport, and other targets, but definitely Los Angeles Airport, the principals all got together and met daily in order to shake the trees for every kind of information they could possibly dig out that might look like it's not connected to anything else, but, you know, put their heads together every day and try to fit it together like pieces in a puzzle. And he is saying that as a result, the terrorist attacks on LAX and other targets were averted. They were avoided. So what this indicates to me is that the president had some knowledge. Now, I know there's a certain amount of hindsight here, but that there was some knowledge, there was something going on, and these people were so blinkered. They were so focused on the Cold War and the old Soviet Union and missile defense that they apparently did not take this seriously. What significance does it have for you,
Joan? Okay, well, do you really believe...
Tell me what significance it has for you.
It's something we knew before then. It's something we know now, and it gives no specifics as to an attack.
But when you're sitting in the government and you're a security advisor, and all of a sudden they're getting enhanced intelligence or an enhanced level of intelligence, the chatter is really high. Everybody knows something's going to happen, and you get a president's daily briefing. Bin Laden determined to attack inside the U.S., and you don't even let your attorney general fly commercial anymore. Don't you think you would take that seriously and do whatever you could, try to convene meetings, do something?
Sure, but I don't think the information, unless she's perjuring herself, I don't think the information given in that PDB allowed them to take effective action. And I would like to disagree with you in that, well, maybe not you, but Clark, in that shaking the trees prevented the LA...
Well, take it up with Clark, because he maintains that, and I think he maintained it under oath.
Even today, if you recall Dr. Rice's testimony, it really was prevented by an alert customs official who noticed a guy sweating, who never had received information that Clark had or the principals had.
But there were other targets as well. LAX was not the only target.
Well, that's what you brought up, and so I just addressed that. And
but you're determined, Joanne, to give this administration a free pass on being on the terrorist watch.
No, you've got that wrong. I'm really trying to look at this objectively. I think terrorism, by its nature, is not predictable. It's very hard to detect. And I think...
But why, Joanne, why are you willing to give Condi a free pass and not Richard Clark? Why are you willing to believe her version over his?
Because it makes more sense based on facts that a customs official saw a man who looked, in her opinion, suspicious. She pulled him over, and lo and behold...
But maybe there's more to the story than Condoleezza Rice was revealing publicly before the 9/11 commission. Is that a possibility, you think?
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know.
Do you think that the Bush administration acted as responsibly as it could have to? Because
responsibly as it could have?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't doubt their sincerity. I think if Bush ever believed for any moment, I didn't vote for the guy, okay? Knowing that someone was going after our country, Bush,
Joanne,
in a way, would have gone
I think you're really a Republican and you're posing
as
a Democrat today.
Democrat. And I always have been.
Okay.
I'm truly a Democrat. I cannot go with Republicans on certain issues. And
all right, we're gonna thank you for the call, and
right.
I hope you'll call us again.
I will.
All right, 303-382-1150. I think she's not a Democrat. I think she's really cutting that administration way more slack, because what we know the 9/11 Commission, or at least what's being reported that the 9/11 Commission is going to come out with, is that these were preventable attacks. That is what's been reported so far. I don't know where they got that information. The report hasn't been compiled yet, but what they're saying is that in the preliminaries, that 9/11 could have been prevented. What do you think? 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Looking for an alternative to Rush middays? Hear Ina Goldstein, noon to 3 on AM 1150 KNRC.
D.R. Horton, America's Builder Melody Series. Owned for under $1,000 a month. No down, no closing cost programs available. Visit MelodyLiving.com or call 1-866-MELODY-H. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you. Former Tonight Show bandleader Doc Severinsen leads the Colorado Symphony Orchestra and From Russia with Doc on April 9th and 10th. Tickets start at just $12. Tickets available at all King Supers, Tickets West outlets, and online at coloradosymphony.org. And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100 for your KNRC listener offer. The Colorado Symphony Orchestra, the sound of your life.
KNRC Community Commitments.
For 86 years, the Junior League of Denver has changed lives. Whether it's preventing domestic violence and hunger, promoting children's health, or cultural affairs, the Junior League of Denver offers women an opportunity to make change happen. On Tuesday, April 27th, from 6 to 8 p.m., the league will sponsor a clothing drive at Colorado Mills. KNRC's own Evelinda and Judy will host a seminar and shopping spree for any Denver woman who brings an item of clothing for donation. Call 303-384-3000 for more details.
Talk to Jimmy Lakey.
Retired General Tommy Franks, welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. It's great to be with you.
One of the things about the Iraqi war, I guess you got to ask about those embedded reporters.
I've told a lot of people, Jimmy, that I'm the biggest fan of embedding reporters with our military. The moms and dads and relatives and loved ones of the youngsters who were serving over there were able to see what was going on every minute of every day, and so I thought it was a great thing.
Jimmy Lakey, weekday mornings at 6 on AM 1150 KNRC. When you've got to know what's going on.
What's going on here?
All you gotta do is tune in. Tune in to AM 1150 KNRC. 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 You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
12:57 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We're talking about Condoleezza Rice's testimony. Let's go right to the phones and to, let's go to Anthony on a cell. Hi, Anthony. You're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How you doing today?
Doing well. You're a first-time caller?
Yeah, first-time caller.
Oh, here it is.
Oh, thank you. That'll make my day.
You have just been de-virginized.
Great.
Yeah. What's on your mind?
I just want to, like I told you, screener, I appreciate the last caller, her objectivity, and I hope she's still listening. I really respect that. Not, that's the only reason I called. I just like her objectivity.
Okay.
And hopefully she's on, and hopefully I'll call back again in the near future.
Anthony, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150, Van in Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid, how's it going?
Going good.
Did you watch it?
I did watch it. What'd
you
think? What do you think about the August 6th memo?
Oh, I think, Bin Laden determined to strike in USA. I mean, it's pretty intense. I thought it was pretty interesting. I thought Kerry did a real good job.
What do you think about Benvenista?
Oh, I thought he was beautiful. You could tell he was a prosecutor.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, you could tell that, couldn't you?
Yeah, it's like...
All right, so what do you think about the significance of the August 6th memorandum?
Well, I think that, coupled with the August 7th vacation is kind of big.
Was it August 7th?
Yeah.
How did I miss that? For the longest vacation in the history in the last 32 years that any president has ever taken, he took a month off.
Right, and it started the day after this memo that said this came out. I mean, that to me says it all. These guys were on vacation.
Right.
But I wanted to just, you know, for the folks that didn't actually see it, I wanted to just read the last exchange between Kerry and Rice, because I thought
how long does it take?
It was this whole thing.
How long does it take?
Probably less than 15 seconds.
Go ahead.
In the spirit of, this is Kerry, in the spirit of further declassification, this is what the August 6th memo said to the president, that the FBI indicates patterns of suspicious activity in the United States consistent with preparations for hijacking. That's the language of the memo that was briefed to the president on August 6th. Rice's response, and that was checked and steps were taken through FAA circulars to warn of hijackings. So on the one hand, she's saying it's a historical document with nothing that's really needed for future action.
You know what the word was that she used all the time? Strategy, policy, policy, strategy. They were so busy with policy, strategy, strategy, and policy that they let us open for attack.
Exactly. I mean, you know,
We're going to have to leave it there, Van. I'm so okay. Sorry. We're out of time in this hour. Thanks for the call. 303-382-1150. Two more hours of Enid right here on AM 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Rosalind Jordan at the White House. National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice says the Bush administration has made changes that make America safer, but not completely safe. She testified this morning before members of the Special 9/11 Commission and suggested her former colleague Richard Clark should have voiced his concerns to her.
Not once during this period of time did my very experienced crisis manager say to me, you know, I don't think this is getting done in the agencies. I'd really like you to call them together or make a phone call.
Clark has accused the administration of downplaying the threat posed by al-Qaeda and focusing instead on Iraq. Rice says Saddam Hussein was a concern, but so was Osama bin Laden. The U.S. military, meantime, has launched a new offensive aimed at ending rebel violence in Iraq. Fighting is still going on in several areas. And several foreigners have been kidnapped in Iraq. Their abductors are threatening to kill some of them. I'm Rosalind Jordan, NBC News Radio.
Your dog eats your new sofa. Pet satisfaction rating 3%. Your hairdresser doesn't know burnt auburn from burnt toast. Hair color satisfaction rating 5%. After years of marriage, your husband still leaves the seat up. Spouse satisfaction rating minus 2%. Your car insurance company saves you hundreds of dollars and handles your claim quickly and fairly. Car insurance satisfaction rating 97%. Oh, you must have Geico.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico. 1-800-947-AUTO.
Beginning April 11th, the History Channel is proud to bring you the Emmy Award-winning epic, Band of Brothers. The true story of the men of Easy Company who defined courage for a generation of Americans. The Chicago Sun-Times says it's the best miniseries in the history of television. Band of Brothers, executive produced by Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg. Sunday night at 9, 8 Central, only on the History Channel. Give it a hero's welcome.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 61 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. A rock slide shut down I-70 overnight. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Earlier problems southbound I-25, Tenderloin Road, all cleaned up now. Traffic back to normal in there. Same situation northbound I-25 at Washington, where somebody was trying to change a flat tire. He's out of the way, and traffic there is just about back to normal. Can't say the same thing about I-76 and Federal. The cement mixer that rolled over earlier this morning is on its wheels, but just one lane of eastbound I-76 is open, and you can count on some big delays in both directions of I-76 as you head up toward Federal Boulevard. Did you know that Albertson's Pharmacy now gladly accepts workers' comp prescriptions? It's just one more way the folks at Albertson's work with your needs in mind. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
In local news, it was a big mess on I-70 near Silver Plume when about a half dozen 6 to 7 foot boulders came down on the highway overnight. CDOT's Gene Towns says crews made quick work of cleaning up the mess from this morning's rock slide.
This occurred about 1:15, 1:30 this morning.
And we had traffic moving in one direction by about 5:30, and then everything cleared out by about 10 o'clock.
Town says wet ground after the winter means there are most likely more rock slides on the way, and he cautions motorists to pay attention and keep speeds down when in the high country. This report brought to you by Liberty Bell Telecom. As the race for Ben Nighthorse Campbell's vacated U.S. Senate seat unfolds, the Republicans may be in disarray, but that won't be the case when it matters, says Governor Bill Owens.
We'll have a united party. We have several good candidates, and I'm very optimistic about the fact that Colorado will have a chance to elect a great U.S. senator this November.
Owens, speaking at a statehouse news conference promoting physical fitness, just yesterday let it slip that beer baron Pete Coors would run for the seat. Meanwhile, GOP Senate candidate Bob Schaefer yesterday said that on Tuesday night he'd been endorsed by Owens. Home foreclosures in Metro Denver are on the rise, in part because of the economy and companies outsourcing jobs. Foreclosures were up for all of 2003, and so far for the first quarter of this year, they're up 67%. Compared to last year's first quarter. Fire and smoke damaged a home in Acres Green near Park Meadows Mall last night. Andy Lyon with South Metro Fire says two people were at home at the time of the blaze but made it out okay. One firefighter received minor injuries and was treated and released. The garage was badly damaged. The car, truck, and boat inside all considered a total loss. In sports, the DU Pioneers have defeated the Minnesota Duluth Bulldogs in the NCAA Men's Hockey Championship today. That means DU will play the winner of tonight's Maine Black Bears-Boston College Eagles game. Championship will be held on Saturday. The Colorado Avalanche started off the playoffs with a 3-1 win over the Dallas Stars last night, game two of the best-of-seven series tomorrow night at the Pepsi Center. Denver Nuggets tied with Portland and Utah for the eighth and final playoff spot in the West after last night's 111-96 win over the Phoenix Suns. Nuggets head to Houston to play the Rockets tomorrow. And Joe Kennedy on the mound for the Colorado Rockies today, wrapping up a three-game series with the Diamondbacks in Arizona tonight. Break free from Quest with your new choice in local phone service, Liberty Bell Telecom. Better service, cheaper rates, keep your current numbers, libertybelltelecom.com. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
The market goes up, and the market goes down. The name in business is CNBC, and it's exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Computers talk in a strange language to us. Then again, so do computer techies. It's hard to find someone who will understand your computer needs. That's why when you're looking for solutions to your computer problems, you're looking for datatarget.com. At datatarget.com, you'll find people who target your computer needs in plain English. They'll cater to your problems relating to Microsoft Windows, installation upgrades, email, networking, internet, security, whether it's a business need or personal. You'll find datatarget.com makes the problem easy to solve. datatarget.com will be there at your business or home to help rid the frustration of trying to resolve it by yourself or spending hours on the phone with a tech guy who can't even talk. datatarget.com is affordable, and best of all, your first consultation is absolutely free. datatarget.com. Call 877-856-1206. That's 877-856-1206. Or log on to www.datatarget.com.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. A little gloomy here with scattered rain showers, especially north of Denver. Chance for a thunderstorm or two this afternoon, a high of 59. Clouds and spotty rain showers tonight, lows in the upper 30s. We'll see some scattered rain showers, isolated thunderstorms again tomorrow as well with highs in the upper 40s. And then it turns colder and we'll be seeing some snow showers Friday night and possibly on Saturday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Partly cloudy, 61 degrees now. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 135 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And in the 3 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by Brian Green, who's written a bestseller book. It's number 3 on the New York Times bestseller list, The Fabric of the Cosmos. It will be useful to look at the universe on a day like this when you have the Condoleezza Rice testimony. I'm getting tons of emails from many of you, so let me share some of them with you. Here is one from, let me go right to Logosification President, do you actually think the president ever takes a vacation? If you do, I feel sorry for you. His office moves from D.C. to Crawford. The man never takes a vacation. You should know better. Here you have a presidential briefing. The PD, Presidential Daily Briefing, I think it's called, and in which the headline of it is, Bin Laden determined to attack inside the U.S. And the next day, Bush goes on the longest vacation that any president has taken in the last 32 years. He goes for a month to Crawford, Texas. And not much, you know, and about a month and a few days beyond that is when 9/11 occurs. Now, what do you think about that? Then Condoleezza Rice's testimony talks about this alert customs agent person who caught the guy who was had the explosives at the border. I think that was at the Canadian border, and he was going to blow up LAX or other targets. Here's Marge emailing me. Marge says the reason that the border agent was alert and caught the perp is that the Clinton administration had made it a big deal about the possibility of something happening during the Christmas and New Year's holidays. This was in the runoff to the millennium, if you will recall. This wasn't, here was the run-up to the millennium. This wasn't after the fact. This wasn't after 9/11. Marge says, I was living in Seattle at the time, and the warnings were so big and concrete that the mayor of Seattle canceled the New Year's Eve celebration at Seattle Center and throughout all of downtown Seattle. It was not a coincidence, Marge writes, that the customs agent was on alert. So the presidency had made something of it. And if you'll recall in Richard Clark's testimony, Richard Clark said that the principals were constantly meeting on this subject. Here you have coming into the White House, this group, your father's Oldsmobile, Dick Cheney, little Dickie, and the rest, Rumsfeld, who were busy fighting the Cold War, and the Cold War had ceased to exist. And they were blinkered, apparently. They didn't think that there could be an attack on our cell because we are big America. I don't know. Or else they were just so partisan or so fixated on a particular idea that they couldn't see beyond the idea. And it looks to me like they didn't do their jobs. Here's, let me see. Then I get an email from one of you, and this is from Kyle. Kyle says, Dear Enid, and Kyle's mad at me. Now, I don't know if Kyle's a girl or a boy. I'll assume that Kyle is a boy, but it can be a girl. Because when Laura Flanders was on and we talked about Condi's doctorate from DU, I said, but darling, it's not Harvard or Oxford. So now I'm going to get all kinds of crap from DU alums. I don't mean to really diss it. I mean, I'm sure it's a great school, but it isn't Harvard and it isn't Oxford. As a moderate and frequent listener of your show, I sometimes have to question your, quote, intellectual honesty. As a dual degree holder and DU alum, found your reference to DU as it's just DU regarding Condoleezza Rice qualifications offensive. The University of Denver is one of the finest academic institutions in this country, over 160 years old, and many other accomplished and distinguished alums, including Lowell Thomas, have graduated from DU. The Wall Street Journal ranked DU's Daniels College of Business as the 44th best business school in the world in 2004. That meant that there were 43 other ones that were better. And their hockey team just won the playoff game, Joe told me. U.S. News and World Report just listed three of DU's colleges in its top 100 universities, including the School of Social Work, that ranked 38th best in the country, which means that there were 37 better ones. Do you just fly in to do your shows, or do you care at all about Denver as a community? If so, maybe you could do a little more research before using a cultural, academic, and economic staple to the Denver community, such as DU, to assail someone's character. Finally, as I write you this email, DU's hockey team has beat the University of Minnesota, thank you, Joe, Duluth, and will play Harvard for the national title this week. Go DU is what I say. The politics is one thing, community is another. What were you thinking, Kyle? Well, I was thinking to tell you the truth. DU may be a fine school, and I don't mean to diss it, but it isn't Harvard, and it isn't Oxford, and if it's 38th best in one area, that means there are 37 better ones, and if it's 44th best in another area, that means there are 43 better ones, so putting it in context. So you know what? Take my criticism either with a grain of salt, or, and it's not really meant to be critical, or make DU such a fabulous school that it ranks number one in all significant categories. That's what I would say. So to call me intellectually dishonest because I won't be a cheerleader, is that a fair criticism? I'm asking you, 303-382-1150. Eric, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid. Hey, I've called before. I even mentioned this. I work for the airlines, and somebody just said that they had sent out an FAA circular about before 9/11, and a circular. I don't know what they're talking about. It certainly didn't come to the air crew. And had we known
It came to John Ashcroft, though, because he was told, he was warned not to fly commercial.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately for pilots and flight attendants and passengers, none of us were given that. And the point is that the old rule for hijackings was you cooperate and delay, but you cooperate. When you're dealing with suicide hijackers, that's a totally different animal and would have been dealt with completely.
All right, under the old rules, if you were a pilot, you're told to what, delay but cooperate?
Essentially, because for the most part, in most instances, hijackers want to get somewhere, or they are trying to get other people released and then get somewhere or whatever. In most cases, they don't want to die. And
they're looking for a free flight, maybe?
That's right.
With a long jail sentence accompanying?
Trying to cash in their miles.
Uh-huh.
You know, the flight was overbooked. But so with a suicide hijacker, of course, you open the cockpit door, everyone's dead. And had people known that it was, you know, basically...
Had you ever, as a pilot, before 9/11, in any other administration, had, I don't know if we even thought about suicide hijackers, did you ever get any kind of a warning to be on the alert for the possibility of a suicide hijacker?
No, absolutely not. I mean, it was all post-9/11 that we've been, you know, our training and our security measures are geared towards that. Now, if anyone tries to hijack an airplane, of course, the first line of defense, in my opinion, is going to be the passengers. I mean, people will literally rip anyone to shreds who tries to get into the cockpit door now because they realize everyone's
well,
in this together.
Yes, but as I think about it, with what? You know, they'll take your tweezers. I mean, meanwhile, the hijacker smuggles something on board, a ceramic knife or something, that the screening equipment doesn't detect, and the rest of us don't even have a tweezers to go at him with.
No, but you have cushions, and you have fists, and you have suitcases, and you have numbers, and it's already happened on flights where somebody tried to do something strange. They were literally mugged, beaten up, thrown to the ground, tied to a chair with belts, and that was that. I mean, it was literally... because everybody realizes we're in this together. So this notion that, you know, they did everything they could have before 9/11 is a farce. But I just want to make one other quick comment, and that is the woman who called and said she's a Democrat. I don't find it hard to believe that there's a Democrat who finds it hard to believe that Bush would, you know, try to do everything he could, blah, 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 this, that, and the other thing. And it is the LAX thing was a point-specific thing. If you have a report that they're going to hijack airplanes and fly them into buildings, obviously that's far less specific, so your resources are going to be spread a lot more thinly. But where I disagree with her is because I guess I'm a leftist, radical, liberal, wacko, according to a lot of people. I think they left the door open. They had all this traffic about a potential attack, and I think because of panic and because Iraq was in their sights, they knew it was just a matter of time before they had their Pearl Harbor incident. And I know that makes them sound really vile and evil.
I have to say about this administration, I think the reason they don't want you to see what they're doing, if you know, just go into your private life and know people who want to keep everything a secret. First of all, they want to keep everything a secret because there's a kind of insecurity there. They don't want you to see the full picture, whether they think you're going to diss it, whether they think they're not measuring up, whether they're embarrassed for you to see the full picture. But when people want to keep it all secret, it shows you that there's a lot of insecurity there. And I think with this crew, I think in part, I think they are not competent. They are not capable. They are inept. And the inept has been disastrous. Not only 3,000 people killed in the Trade Center bombings, but how many thousands of people maimed now in Iraq, a war we did not have to fight. It's blowing up in our faces even today. Yesterday, it gets worse and worse. It's coming unglued there.
Yeah.
I mean, this is completely inept.
It is, but I don't think they're secretive because they're inept. I think they're being secretive because they really do have something to hide, and what they have to hide is that the real intention all along was to get Iraq. And this was...
According to John Dean, the real intention was just to get reelected to a second term. That's all they ever cared about, and they've made decisions accordingly. Every decision has been made politically. In other words, how it'll play better, how they can get more people to vote for them. We don't have cleaner air. We don't have cleaner water. We have more mercury. A lot of the stuff that the Clinton administration tried to do, they're rolling back, and believe me, Clinton
did... Oh, they're horrendous. They're complete lapdogs for the corporation.
That's right. They're whores for the energy industry. Those are the people who write the legislation at UNO.
Right.
And look what happened to Medicare. It's one of the programs that has really worked. Social Security has worked. Anybody who has had an older adult relative, a parent or an aunt or an uncle, when they get older and Medicare is there for them, you realize what a good thing that has been.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, it's true.
Eric, I thank you for the call. Thanks
okay,
very
thanks.
Much. 303-382-1150. Steve in Louisville. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Steve.
In 1998, this is according to the FAA 9/11 hearings, and that was held in January. But in 1998, there was testimony that said that there's an indication of a possibility that there would be suicide hijackings. And what happened was that the FAA and the security officials felt that it probably wouldn't happen, was impractical. So there was a warning of this kind of thing as early as 1998.
Okay.
And I flew during 98, 99, 2000, 2001, or before the 9/11, and I didn't see any increased security, and I never heard of this until the FAA hearings in January.
Okay, Steve, I thank you for the call. Gary Hart, in today's Rocky Mountain News, and we saw it in Salon yesterday or the day before, Gary Hart said he warned cabinet members in February of 2001 that the U.S. was likely to be attacked by terrorists and should immediately move to prevent it. You remember now, Gary Hart and Warren Rudman were part of a bipartisan commission that predicted 9/11, predicted that some kind of a terrorist attack could happen. And they also wrote a follow-up post-9/11 that I don't think the administration has paid very much attention to. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. So here you have Gary Hart, who had known Condoleezza Rice from her days, I think, at DU, not exactly Harvard. Now, are you going to get mad at me for saying that? Everybody's going to get mad at me like I'm not being a cheerleader here. Come on, I'm sure it's a fine school. But Condoleezza Rice graduated from. What does that tell us? 303-382-1150. Kevin in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I just wanted to comment. You know, you were talking to Eric, and he was talking about how on the planes, any hijacker is just going to be mugged by all the passengers because he said, we're all in this together. And that struck me because it occurs to me in our country, we are all in this together. Whether you be a Democrat or Republican, you should be willing to have the courage to all of us rise up together and, metaphorically speaking, tackle this Bush administration and tie them to a darn chair. I mean,
if I had been president, I want to say something, because you are so right about this, Kevin. If I had been president, which nobody in their right mind would vote me president, but if I had been president in 9/11, what I would have done immediately would be to have tried to bring the country together. And Rudolf Giuliani, as big a bum as he was, Mr. Philanderer, he's the one that rose to the occasion there. And Laura Bush rose to the occasion while Dickey was running around like a chicken with its head cut off from one bunker to the next. I would have tried to bring people together. And my advice to people, all of us, our hearts went out to the whole country, to the people who were hurt most, to the victims, the families, etc. Instead of the advice being go shopping, the advice would have been let's tap, I wanted to run away and join the CIA. Tap our energies, volunteer, help, get us to do stuff so that we could come together. What they're doing now is dividing us so that they can be reelected. If he were really a good, heroic, noble, honest, capable leader, they'd be trying to bring us together as a country.
And can I say also, I'm a Democrat and I'm a liberal, and I can respect that there are some people who are Republicans and conservatives, and I don't have to hate them for that. But I'll tell you what, when I see the Republicans and the conservatives fail to do their obvious, honest, intellectual duty and reject this administration, I begin to hate them quite a bit. It's just infuriating to me that people hang on to their ideology and grasp at straws for arguments to support this nonsense. We really have to come together and fix our government quickly.
And fix our whole country.
That's right.
But how do you do that? I'm going to throw a wrench into your wonderful idea. How do you do that when enough of the public isn't even sufficiently engaged to be outraged at the obvious lies and the ineptitude? If you had done your job as badly as George Tenet or anybody else did it in the 9/11 and in some of the follow-up after 9/11, would you still have your job? The answer is probably you would not have your job. So how do you engage an unengaged population?
Well, I don't know. It seems to me that there's a huge percentage of the population that's engaged. They're engaged in defending the Bush administration because they will not let go of the notion that we're Republicans, he's Republican, we elected him, he shares our values, we have to defend him. They can simply understand that their values, if they may be different than my values, and their values may still be legitimate, and they should defend their values, but they need to understand that this man is not about their values. This man has hijacked their values and told them that because they believe the same things he believes, that they have to support him. There's another famous leader in history that did that, and I'm not even going to mention the name, but you know who I'm talking about.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM Lively Talk Radio today. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now, the next generation of talk radio.
Talk with us.
Blah, 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 blah.
Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Been wondering how to get started investing in real estate? Call Mile High Capital Group. They're experts in rental duplexes, a great way for an individual to get started in real estate investing. They handle everything from finding the right lot in the right area where your new duplex can cash flow from day one, building the duplex, and even managing it for you if you wish. So this can be real carefree real estate investing. If you can afford just 10% down, about $30,000, you can be on your way to financial security. It's a fact. If you had acted on this investment strategy of investing in Colorado rental duplexes 10 years ago, you would have averaged nearly a 100% return per year for the last 10 years. Compare that to the stock market. Call Mike at Mile High Capital Group for complete no obligation details and tell them you heard about them on AM 1150 KNRC. 303-683-8500. That's 303-683-8500. Or visit them at milehighcapital.com. It may be the most important call you ever make.
AM 1150 KNRC invites you to expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series. Tickets are still available for our next featured speaker, Steve Forbes. Steve Forbes will be speaking on Monday, May 17th at Betcher Concert Hall at the Denver Center for the Performing Arts. For information, visit knrcradio.com. The KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series is a program of junior achievement and is sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Jennifer Slaw, CNBC Business Radio. The sellers are picking up steam ahead of the Good Friday holiday weekend. With about 40 minutes left until the closing bell, the Dow right now, we're looking at a big sell-off here, down by 84 points to 10,395. NASDAQ also now in the red, down by 4 to 2,046. Walmart is a drag on the Dow today despite reporting a 6% jump in March same-store sales. Shares of the retail giant are lower by almost 3%. On a brighter note, shares of Yahoo are surging by 15% after the web portal said its quarterly profit more than doubled. Putnam Investments will pay a total of $110 million to settle improper mutual fund trading allegations. The settlement will be split evenly between the Securities and Exchange Commission and the state of Massachusetts. A grand jury has indicted Reliant Energy Services and four of its workers with manipulating the California energy markets in 2000 and 2001. Federal prosecutors are accusing Reliant's power trading unit of intentionally driving up electricity prices. Jennifer Slaw, CNBC Business Radio.
Get the good stuff.
Beam Streets Department at Napa Auto Parts for all the performance and appearance products you need for your sport compact car. While you're there, pick up a Napa Extreme Streets hat for just $7.99. It's a great looking flex fit hat stitched with top performance logos. And you can also register to win a tricked out Ford Focus. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. See Napa Auto Parts stores for official rules and complete details.
Get the good stuff.
Napa, get the good stuff.
Want to save as much as 50% or more on your prescription medications? Did you know that millions of Walgreens customers already do? Talk to your Walgreens pharmacist about generic substitutions. By law, generics contain the same active ingredient as the name brand equivalents. This means that you get the same quality medication for less. Generic substitutions. One more reason why Walgreens is the pharmacy America trusts.
What do the newsmakers in Colorado think? Find out with commentaries mornings and afternoons with such movers and shakers like Senator John Andrews, Representative Andrew Romanoff, Senator Mark Hillman, and others. Listen mornings at 7:07 and afternoons at 5:07 exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC.
is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
127 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and I just want to alert you that we're going to be joined in the 2 o'clock hour by Brian Greene. He's the best-selling author of The Elegant Universe, was his past book, his previous book, his new one, number 3 now on the New York Times nonfiction list, bestseller list, The Fabric of the Cosmos. And he's going to be at Tattered Cover Cherry Creek tonight at 7:30. So he's at Tattered Cover Cherry Creek. Laura Flanders is at Tattered Cover Lodo at 7:30, and you're going to have to take your pick because it's an embarrassment of riches here. We're talking about the Condoleezza Rice testimony. I'm still getting a lot of emails. I'm getting a ton of emails. So let me share some of them here. Here's this one's from Jim. If the Bush administration was so prepared, why were there only 2 fighter planes available, unarmed at that, on the eastern seaboard on the morning of 9/11? How many are available right now? How many are airborne at any one time? During the Cold War, the Russians routinely sent the Georgia Department of Agriculture aerial photos taken by their bear bombers of crop blight in Georgia and Florida. Well, I'm not sure what that's all about. Here's somebody, Richard, saying, what is Condi smoking? These little attacks against Osama bin Laden were rejected because they didn't want to embolden him and his terrorists. I guess by doing nothing, the Bush administration surely felt this would not embolden them to go ahead and attack the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. Where is Condi's head? Let's see. We also have... let's see, they're right. Enid, as a veteran and a Republican, what do you say here? I do think we should stop pointing the finger. Oh, he says, I think you got a bad rap on AM radio this morning. Well, no kidding. You should at least have been called to defend yourself since you're working for the same station. Enough said about that. I do think that we should stop pointing the finger at each other about 9/11. Even you could not have imagined using an airplane as a bomb. A suicide is a suicide. Hard to stop one. There were Republican and Democrats in the World Trade Center and the Pentagon who actually knew. Do they really think the president would have stepped aside and let it happen with that kind of knowledge? You can debate the Iraqi situation. I disagree with you, but get a few soldiers that were wounded in Iraq on the phone. I believe that each one will tell you we need to be there to help the people, the majority of Iraq, that want to taste freedom. Do you think that what all soldiers are going to say that, especially the wounded ones? I don't know about that. 303-382-1150, that's from Richard. Thank you, Richard. I don't agree with you, though. And I don't think we should be in Iraq. I think it's a terrible waste of our resources. And I think it makes us weaker when it comes to fighting terrorism. It doesn't make us stronger. 303-382-1150. If you've never called a talk radio show before, think about doing it. I'd love to have new voices to enrich the conversation. It's a free phone call, virtually. I think it's free for just about everybody. And you can affect the dialogue. You can affect the conversation. You might not think one person can, but you can. So think about doing it. 303-382-1150. Liz, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
I'm sorry, I'm not a new voice, but yeah, I hope lots of people call. You have a great, great audience out there.
Thank you, Liz.
I think
I didn't go to the Academy Awards.
You didn't?
No. Did you go to the Academy Awards?
I did not. I heard they were lame.
They're never lame. They're always fun.
I don't know. I think Dr. Rice did a great job this morning. I think she's articulate, and I think she's fabulous.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
And you believe everything she had to say?
I do. I thought she came off as really honest.
God, you're really turning into a Republican.
No, I'm not. I'm moderate. And come on, I'm working.
I mean, what is she going to do? She's gonna support the administration. She's going to try to put the best face on it, and she's going to support her position. She's going to say, look, we made a lot of mistakes. We failed you. I'm sorry. We were asleep at the wheel. She can't say any of that because, you know, this is for posterity, and this is something she doesn't want to sully her career prospects with. She's going to say, you know what, we did that, and we couldn't, and our hands were tied, and we didn't,
No. 9/11, I don't believe it could have been prevented.
But the commission does believe that it could have been prevented.
No, they don't. I don't think that the commission believes that at all. I think if
you don't have to believe it, Liz, but it's being reported that the commission believes that it was preventable. Now, that's what's been reported.
You wipe the floor with me here. Give me a second. I think that if the 9/11 Commission was looking for a smoking gun in her testimony today, they didn't find it. They didn't find it at all. And I think that He did a fine job. I don't think that the 9/11. I don't think that the 9/11 could have been prevented. Thomas Friedman wrote an excellent column a couple weeks ago about the failure of imagination. And I don't think if President Bush would have said we need to go into Afghanistan and fight this, I wouldn't have backed it. I would have said, what have you got on them? And they really, I mean, they had the coal and some other stuff, but there's no way we would have backed the war in Afghanistan.
No, not before 9/11.
No, okay, so what, so, I mean, it's a failure.
Well, you do, why don't you do what the Clinton administration did, that if these the intelligence chatter is so hot and heavy at that point, why don't you have principals meetings every day to shake the trees and to put out warnings so that a border guard comes through and who is particularly alert and keeps the terrorist attack on LAX from happening? Why don't you have those principals meetings? You don't go on vacation the next day. You take it seriously. Why don't you do that?
Who in the world thought that someone is going to drive planes into the Twin Towers?
Well, but they had
Today Show. We're sitting with Katie Kirk in a cute little skirt watching the
Liz, darling, there were intelligence reports to that effect. So you know what? Arm yourself. Girl, we love you, but you got to arm yourself. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Kathy, on a cell phone. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, I'm a new caller.
Are you a first-time caller?
Yes, I am.
Oh, wait a minute.
And I was just kind of on the radio and found your channel. Now, I did want to...
You just got a kiss and you didn't even know it. We give all of our first-time callers kisses.
Well, here's what I wanted to just bring out, is that, you know, there's a lot of documents out there that, you know, have stated that they knew. They knew way in advance. You know, Sybil Edmonds, who is a translator...
We're trying to get her on. She's a translator. She was translating these documents. She said if there was a color coding available, we should have been on high alert.
Well, you know what? I talked with a journalist who spoke with her directly, and he's out of Pennsylvania. And she actually pulled him aside and said, you're not understanding what I'm saying, is that they hired me to alter the documents. So, and if they didn't know, then why did Pentagon officials cancel their flights the week of 9/11? Why, you know, there is this story out there, and for the story, I will say that I don't have any facts on it, but I mean, it's that Condoleezza Rice did call Mayor Willie Brown and tell him not to fly.
And in San Francisco? Well, I don't know about that story. Some of these stories, you know, Kathy, could be apocryphal, too. We know that John Ashcroft wasn't supposed to fly, and nobody else was supposed to fly after 9/11 except for the Bin Laden family, that they flew out without really interviewing them.
Well, Mayor Willie Brown had a flight for September 11th, and he was called, and he actually said on public radio that it was Condi Rice and then stepped back from that statement afterwards. But... also, I don't know if anybody's really aware of this. This is documented that the hotel that President Bush stayed in September 10th, on the eve of September 11th, he had surface-to-air missiles put on that hotel, and he had AWACS planes flying overhead.
I don't know anything about that, Kathy, but
that
I do.
But reported in the Sarasota Herald.
You're going to have to send me that information because
okay,
I haven't.
Glad to send this to you.
All right, send it to me, and let me give you my email address. The lines are full. There's one line open, 303-382-1150. My email address, Enid@knrcradio.com. Enid@knrcradio.com. And I thank you, Kathy, for the call. Call us again, 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Joe on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Joe.
I wanted to comment that the commission really didn't talk about the Iraq detour. For example, there was previous testimony by Richard Clark and I think others that immediately after September 11th, the CIA, the FBI, as well as Clark's counterterrorism group said that it wasn't Saddam Hussein behind this, it was Al-Qaeda. And so then the question is, well, if they already knew that, why did Condoleezza Rice as well as the President, Vice President, Secretary of State, and Secretary of Defense keep trying to tie in Saddam Hussein to 9/11 and their justification for that war? You know,
I don't know. That's the $64,000 question, Joe, and I thank you. 303-382-1150. David on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Enid, you and all the conspiracy theorists just crack me up on a daily basis. I mean, no, it's nobody's fault.
Well, we are delighted that you are listening, David, on a daily basis. Where are you going
to
hear such fabulous talk radio?
I had to plug you. So, hey, listen, I'll tell you, it's nobody's fault. I'm an independent or an unaffiliated here in Colorado.
It's nobody's fault?
Not the Democrats' fault. You can blame, you know, the Republicans are going to sit there and blame it on Clinton. The Democrats are going to blame it on Bush. And we can go back and forth for the next 1,000 years, and no one's going to have anything different than what they have today. We all had our pants down. Clinton had his chances. Bush had his. Let's move on and just take care of business.
Who are you going to vote for in the election, in the presidential?
I'm going to vote for the person that the opposite person from whom Osama bin Laden would vote for.
Well, according to a story that I saw, the terrorists are rooting for the Bush administration.
Well, I mean, I've heard both sides on that.
Who are you really going to vote for?
Who would I vote for?
Who are you really going to vote for, between Kerry or Bush? Who are you going to vote for?
Between Kerry and Bush, I'd vote for Bush any day.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Thanks for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC, the Thursday edition of Enid Live. 1:38, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 61 degrees. The governor says Republicans don't have to worry about their party being in disarray during the upcoming Senate race. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Most everything around town moving along in pretty good shape. That includes I-76 in both directions at Federal Boulevard. That rollover cement mixer is out of the way. Traffic just about back to normal now. I-76 in Sable Boulevard in Adams County, though. Watch for an accident there. Santa Fe in Mississippi, another one. And we're getting a report that I-25 southbound between Monument and Colorado Springs, visibility reduced drastically because of fog. For choice and flexibility, get Quest Choice home phone and long distance. More features and 5 cents a minute long distance. Make Quest the choice for Colorado. Call 1-888-273-9221 or visit Quest.com. Restrictions apply. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Governor Bill Owen says Republicans don't need to worry about disarray in the GOP when it comes to the race for the U.S. Senate. Owen spoke today and said Republicans will have a united party. The comments come following yesterday's announcement by Owens that Pete Coors will run. That announcement came a day after Owens reportedly endorsed Bob Schaefer's run for the Republican nomination. This report brought to you by Albertsons. CDOT is warning motorists in the high country to keep an eye out for rock slides now that springtime is here. This comes after this morning's rock slide that shut down I-70 near Silver Plume. Crews have cleaned up the half dozen or so 6 to 7 foot boulders that came down on the highway. I-70 now completely reopened. Graduation rates for Hispanic and African American students is lower in Colorado than the national average. That's according to a Harvard University study presented to the State Board of Education. Critics of the study are saying it's flawed because it doesn't take into account students who leave and enter the district. Going on now at Albertsons, buy a GE chest freezer for only $159.99 and get $159.99 in groceries. See store for details. While supplies last, Albertsons, helping make your life easier. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 1:40.
Stop on AM 1150 on weekends. We are live and local. All day Saturday and Sunday, listen for John Jack DeMesterton, Desi Cortez, and Darren Copeland, beginning at 8 a.m. Sundays, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC, where you can hear both sides talk.
For centuries, man has sought to beautify his homeland and protect it from unwelcome invaders. It took the Chinese over 1,600 years to construct the Great Wall, which established property boundaries, embellished the landscape, and protected its residents. But within a few weeks, Elkar Fence can expertly install one of over 50 styles of fence. For over 55 years, Colorado residents have turned to Elkar Fence to enhance the privacy and beauty of their property. We can also design a custom fence to fit your specific needs. Now is the perfect time to secure your home for spring and summer. Top-notch products, dependable service, and competitive prices have made Elkar the largest builder of quality fences in the Rocky Mountain region. Elkar is also one of the largest commercial fence builders in the area. Call Elkar today at 755-5211 for a free quote on your own attractive Great Wall. That's Elkar Fence, 755-5211.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Scattered rain showers will be the call through this afternoon, tonight, and tomorrow, and then temperatures turn colder. And we're talking about snow showers on Friday night and possibly on Saturday. We'll top out around 59 for the high today, 39 for our overnight low, 47 on Friday, and temperatures in the upper 30s near 40 on Saturday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
61 degrees under partly cloudy skies. KNRC News Time is 1:42. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Velcaro Paint and Decorating hopes you'll forgive us for bragging a little. We've won an award. And because the environment is really important to us, we're pretty proud of it. Velcaro, a Benjamin Moore dealer, was recently named a recipient of the Environmental Achievement Award by the state of Colorado. What's our achievement? It's the Wet Paint Color Swatch program, which Velcaro pioneered nationally. As you know, choosing the right paint color is usually by trial and error. In the past, consumers had to buy an entire quart to get a sample. Wrong colors often get tossed out and eventually make their way into the environment. But Velcaro offers 1.5-ounce paint swatches, enough to cover 4 square feet, and more than enough to make the right decision. They're inexpensive and come in more than 6,000 colors, including our entire Benjamin Moore line. Wet paint color swatches. Good for you, good for the environment. From Velcaro Paint and Decorating, a Benjamin Moore quality paint dealer. 5475 Leedsdale Drive, just one block west of Holly. Online at Velcaro.com.
Good afternoon, I'm Tony Dezuri with your KNRC Masters Golf Tournament update. First rounds are being completed at Augusta. No one has been able to top Justin Rose's first round 67. He is in the clubhouse at 5 under par. Chris DeMarco and Jay Haas are also in the clubhouse. They are 2 shots back. Some notables finishing up their rounds. John Daly is 6 over through 17. Tiger Woods is 3 over through 7. So is defending champ Mike Weir. All eyes on Phil Mickelson. Lefty is in the clubhouse with an opening round 72. I'm Tony Dezuri, and that has been your Masters Golf Tournament update on AM 1150 KNRC.
Find out what happened while you were at work.
Who are you?
Tim McLaughlin.
Tim McLaughlin.
With news updates twice an hour during the Doug Kellett Show. Afternoons exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
1:44 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And what we're talking about is Condoleezza Rice. We're talking about a lot of you defending the administration, some of you not defending the administration. I really think they were asleep at the wheel. I think they were so focused on Star Wars and the old Soviet Union and the Cold War that they didn't take these warnings seriously. Gary Hart has warned Condoleezza Rice twice. He prepared a report, a bipartisan report with Warren Rudman, a man who is immensely respected. They both are. Here's Gary Hart right now. He's on CNN. He said he talked to her twice. And nobody wanted to listen. And they did a report that predicted 9/11. And then, in the wake of 9/11, they did a follow-up report about what the country has to do to shore up its defenses. And nobody's paid the slightest bit of attention to it. Say we went off to Iraq. 303-382-1150. We went to Afghanistan first, and then we detoured, big-time detoured to Iraq, where it's an irrelevant fight, depleting us of our resources, so that if terrorism does occur, we are going to be at a huge disadvantage. 303-382-1150. Dwayne, calling from Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well.
Good. I think I, to an extent, I agree with the previous caller. I think I tend to view it more as a failure of many governmental agencies, not so much specifically one party or presidency. But I have a real specific question. I didn't get to see all of Dr. Rice's testimony, and to me there seems to be a really glaring discrepancy. And if anyone who saw all of it can tell me what happened, if anything, with this, I'd appreciate it. Dr. Rice said that part of the reason for the lack of security was that they thought the target was going to be outside the United States. Yet apparently the president's daily briefing document dated 5 weeks prior to the attack says that he was looking for a target within the United States.
Right.
Did she address that at all? Was there an explanation?
I don't know if anybody held her feet to the fire on that one. But
that seems very contradictory.
Yes, it does. Absolutely right. I believe the title was Bin Laden Determined to Attack Inside the United States. But you know, they compartmentalized. They said, well, that's the president's daily briefing, but we didn't think he was going to attack. We didn't know where he was going to attack. So if you don't know where he's going to attack, batten down your hatches and try to fortify your country the best way you can.
Yeah.
Don't just go on vacation for a month, the longest vacation any president's had in 32 years.
Yeah, whether they could have stop that specific attack, I don't know, but they certainly could have done a better job with security overall. There's no doubt about it.
I agree with you, Dwayne. Thanks very much. 303-382-1150. John, calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Thank you for taking the call. I just wanted to make a comment on one of your last callers that said that no one could stop this, that the Republicans weren't to blame and the Democrats weren't to blame. Well, I guess I kind of take offense at that and have a completely different viewpoint. Somebody nowadays has to accept responsibility. We try to teach our kids that they're responsible for their actions, even at a young age. And as they get older, we're told to put that into their head that, you know, you're responsible for what happens to you. Well, who's responsible for this thing and who's going to pay? Somebody should pay. Seems to be that there is no one ever made to pay at the top of the food chain.
How come nobody was fired?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, nobody's fault. If everybody says, oh, you couldn't have stopped this and it's nobody's fault. That's what these people are paid, big money and given lifetime compensation for in the form of pensions and everything else, is because they're the leader. That's what their job is to think ahead. Somebody has to pay. Somebody is responsible.
What would be the correct payment?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what.
How do you pay? How do you now, some years after the fact, how do you pay for it? Except in a beginning level with truth. Truth would be a great first step, but nobody's going to admit the truth because nobody wants to be painted in a bad light. They rationalize it to themselves. They lie to themselves, and then they lie to everybody else. So they rationalize it to themselves. They'll rationalize it to you. Well, I didn't know. We didn't think. We didn't think we'd be in the United States. We didn't think they'd be a suicide bomber. Never mind that they're contradicted at every point.
Yeah, but nobody lost their job. Nobody ever got their hand slapped. Nothing ever happened to anybody, particularly George Bush, you know. I mean, he's the guy that's sitting up there
should
all be respecting.
He's the guy.
How can you respect somebody when they never have to pay the price?
He's the guy sitting up there gutting the country and telling you what a great job he is doing. He's gutting it in every single way. He's gutting it with his lies. He's gutting the money out of the country. It's either going to the top earners in this country or it's going out to a war that he never would be honest about to tell us what it was going to cost. Irrelevant war that makes us weaker against terrorism, not stronger against terrorism. Something I have said from the very beginning, and I was happy to see that Dick Clark said the same thing. And coming from Dick Clark, people will believe it. They're not going to believe it coming from moi, your talk radio goddess in Denver, but I was as right as he was, and I didn't even see any of the intelligence information. It's just a matter of common sense.
You know, Enid, they made Bill Clinton pay in the form of an impeachment for a simple sexual indiscretion with a young lady that cost nobody their life and did not cost the country hundreds of billions of dollars. Somebody should pay for what went on 9/11.
Well, you know what? I agree with you, but I think a first payment would be telling the truth, and it's not going to happen. There's an election in progress. You're never going to get the straight story. They're going to rationalize to themselves and to each other, and the only thing left to really find out the truth is for very determined researchers to deal with as much unclassified information as can be made available to find the inconsistencies, to connect the dots, to paint the picture. Because if you're looking for this crew in this White House to tell you the truth, you can forget. Don't hold your breath, John.
Well, a two-hour grilling by a commission is never going to get us the truth. They're never going to go at it in depth.
No, they're not. And 2.5 hours with the proviso that no other government official can now be testify before the commission. And that's it. All she had to do was filibuster for 2.5 hours, and she did her best to do that. Okay. And as far as Bush and Cheney testifying together, is one going to talk while the other's drinking a glass of water? Ditto,
well,
Roger. That's what they're going to say to each other. And there, the original time limit was 1 hour. Can you believe that?
And you'll probably never see Dick Cheney's hands on the table while George's mouth is moving. Thank you, Enid.
Thank you, John. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
AM 1150 cannot be held liable if our diverse talk programming forces you to use excessive brain power. Always entertaining and never boring. AM 1150 KNRC.
Quest Choice Long Distance for Business. Just 5 cents a minute with a $20 monthly cap and no contracts. Call 1-888-LD-QUEST for more information.
Wherever your allergies strike, there's a non-drowsy medicine that lets you do something wonderful. Breathe again.
It's Allivert.
Allergy and sinus. It relieves sinus pressure, stops runny nose, and clears your nasal congestion so you can breathe again. Inside, outside, wherever you are. Get prescription-strength, non-drowsy, allergy, and sinus relief. Even Claritin can't beat. Allivert, allergy, and sinus. The right relief, wherever you are. Use as directed.
Don't miss the 2004 Scout Show, Saturday, April 24th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the National Western Complex. The show is open to the public and will feature more than 200 interactive booths by local Cub Scout packs, Boy Scout troops, and community organizations. Highlights include a climbing wall, fishing, and dance and craft exhibits. Admission is just $2 for children and adults. Children under 5 are free. For more information, contact the Denver Area Council Boy Scouts of America at 303-455-5522 or visit denveracouncil.com.
Hi, Jim Conder here, host of KNRC's Culture Buzz. Join me Thursday evening at 6 as I go deeper into movies with local film critics Tom DeLappa and Walter Chow. We'll have a fast, freewheeling discussion about the latest movies opening in the Denver area. You'll hear short reviews of the week's premieres, hear which films you should avoid and which films you don't want to miss. Plus, we'll fill you in about the latest film in Madstone Theater's new premiere pick series and tell you how you can win passes to see it. Visit knrcradio.com for more information.
I'm Diane. I have my home craft business. I think a lot of people would like to know what I'm thinking, which is sad, because Doug Kellett always hangs up on me when I pause for emphasis. 10 seconds is not an eternity, Doug Kellett.
Doug Kellett, weekdays from 3 to 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kellett. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
One 1:54 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock in the next hour. Brian Greene will be joining us. He has a brand new book out, number 3 on the New York Times bestseller list, called The Fabric of the Cosmos, and God knows we need to know what it's made of, because we aren't going to find out from the crowd testifying before the 9/11 Commission the fabric of anything that has any value whatsoever. Neil, calling from Lakewood. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you doing today?
Doing well.
Yeah, first-time caller.
Oh, wait a minute. A first-time caller.
I had to get that. Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know what the Bush administration reminds me of? Did you ever see the movie Blazing Saddles?
I did, but it's been a long time since I've seen it.
Oh, you know the part where Mel Brooks has the panties touching his nose, and he's all cross-sided, and we got to save our phony baloney jobs. That, to me, is the Bush administration. It's a shame that people still continue to support this administration. I'm amazed
that people aren't asking basic questions. I'm amazed that they're not outraged that they're being lied to. I'm amazed that they aren't outraged at the level of deception that's going on here. Even John Dean, loyal Republican that he was, has said that this is an administration. And Ralph Nader has come out for the impeachment of George Bush, but it's not going to happen because the Republicans control everything.
Yeah. And, you know, the evidence is out there. It's there's so much of it. It's just overwhelming of how incompetent and crooked that this administration is.
Well, all right, so what are you doing about it, Neil? Are you going to do anything to try and marshal? Are you going to volunteer? Are you going to write a check? What are you going to do?
I'm kind of laid up. I just had back surgery, so I can't really go out and do anything physically. But I contribute financially, and chat rooms.
Okay, that's good. And do you tell your friends, too?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I've had some pretty heated
Maybe you can call and see if you can make phone calls on behalf of trying to get the vote out.
Sure.
That you could do if you're laid up on with your back, and we hope that your back is better.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. 303-382-1150. A couple things that I wanted to share with you that are sort of not what we've been talking about. But when I was in Venice, and we had a reunion of the Venice group last night, we saw these. They trucked in. You can't drive in Venice. It's all water. You have to take a boat to go from across the street if there's not a bridge there, from one side to the other. So there are no trucks. We saw a barge come in with these huge trucks, And on the trucks were huge spotlights, all spotlighting one, like a top floor of a palazzo on the Grand Canal. And we found out that it was a Victoria's Secret shoot in Venice. And then it turns out, who do you think is singing on that commercial? And the commercial is now airing. And he came to Venice for a couple of days, but we never saw him. If we had seen him, we would have made a fuss. It was Bob Dylan. But he is spent 2 days on a shoot in Venice after Victoria's Secret approached him and his label, and he's singing on a Victoria's Secret commercial, and we were there watching it being filmed. It was kind of fun. I mean, here's a barge with all these trucks on it, big spotlights, and you can't have trucks. You can't drive trucks anywhere in Venice. Well, maybe there's some, like Lido you can, but not Venice proper, I think. 303-382-1150. We're talking about Condoleezza Rice. We're talking about Richard Benvenista. Do you think he was too tough on her? He said, what was the title? He said, isn't it a fact, Dr. Rice, that the August 6th PDV, the President's Daily Briefing, warned against possible attacks in this country? And I ask you whether you recall the title of that PDV. And she says, I believe the title was Bin Laden Determined to Attack Inside the United States. And then how could she say, as some of you pointed out, that in fact we didn't know he was going to attack, we didn't know where, we didn't know he was going to attack inside the United States. And so now Benvenista wants to shut her up, and she won't, she's not having any, she really filibustered. Now he says, and he says, thank you. And she says, no, Mr. Benvenista. And he says, I will get into the, and I would like to finish my point here. He said, I didn't know there was a point. He only asked her, what the name of the President's Daily Briefing was, which until this moment, I believe, was classified or was only shortly, declassified only shortly before it was named in the testimony today. So I'm wondering what the downside is going to be here. Condoleezza Rice was a good and loyal soldier. She gave a very accomplished and polished testimony today, but there still are some discrepancies, and those who are good investigators will, I hope, in the coming days point them out. And I hope fundamentally my take is, and this is just an intuition, no facts here, just looking at the tea leaves, I kind of think that as the days go by and as the clips are shown and reshown, I kind of think that some of the underbelly is going to come out. It's not going to have been A-plus polished, lustrous something or other. There are going to be some cracks here because of her testimony. Maybe this is only wishful thinking. One more hour of Enid coming right up. In the next hour, Brian Greene will be joining us. His new book, The Fabric of the Cosmos. You can meet him at Tattered Cover tonight, Cherry Creek, at 7:30. The book is number 3 on the New York Times bestseller list. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Thursday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Sam Lutzinger. National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice was in the hot seat as she spoke to members of the Special Commission looking into the 9/11 terrorist attacks. She was grilled about allegations the Bush administration didn't pay enough attention to Al-Qaeda. Rice said there were lots of intelligence reports before the attacks, but they didn't provide hard information.
They don't tell us when, they don't tell us where, they don't tell us who, and they don't tell us how.
Rice says she's made changes to the bureaucracies that make America safer, but not completely safe. American military commanders have launched a new offensive aimed at ending the violence in Iraq. U.S. troops are still battling in Fallujah. They're trying to win control of that city. It's another sign the U.S. economy is picking up some steam. The number of first-time jobless claims fell again last week. They're now at the lowest level since the end of the Clinton administration. Many analysts say the economy is finally creating some new jobs. I'm Sam Litzinger, NBC News Radio.
Get the good stuff.
Did you know that dirt and grime can add years to your car's appearance? So stop by your newest Napa Auto Parts store and stock up on 64-ounce Blue Coral High Gloss Car Wash or 32-ounce Westley's Bleach White Tire Cleaner for just $2.99 each. This is the good stuff. Keep your car looking its best. Pick up some Westley's Bleach White Tire Cleaner or Blue Coral High Gloss Car Wash for just $2.99 today.
Get the good stuff.
Napa, get the good stuff.
weekend, it's all about you at the JCPenney Customer Appreciation Sale this Friday and Saturday only. Just in time for Easter, find exceptional savings store-wide. Plus, come in for your bonus scratch-off card and get extra savings of 10, 15, even 20% off sale and clearance prices when you use your JCPenney card. Don't miss the JCPenney Customer Appreciation Sale because you deserve it.
It's all inside.
JCPenney. Some exclusions apply. See for the details during April 10th.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 62 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. The governor made some new comments today on the Republican race for the U.S. Senate. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Just getting a report of an accident on Capitol Hill at 12th and Corona. Freeway traffic around town moving along in pretty good shape. A couple of minor exceptions. One is northbound I-225 approaching Parker Road. Police cleaning up an accident there. Another one, I-76 and Sable out in Adams County. Big traffic, travel problem right now is I-25 in both directions between Monument and Colorado Springs. Dense fog, wet road conditions, scattered showers. So drive with care if you're heading toward Colorado Springs this afternoon. When you are looking to buy or sell a home, look for the name that brings results, REMAX. There's a REMAX real estate office near you, so give them a call today. REMAX, outstanding agents, outstanding results. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
In local news, Governor Bill Owen says it's too early to throw his weight behind any GOP candidate running for Ben Nighthorse Campbell's seat.
We have an excellent candidate in Bob Schaefer and a gentleman I don't know as well, Mr. O'Brien, anybody from Colorado Springs. If Pete Coors gets in the race next week, it'll certainly be an additional candidate, and I'll look at that race at that time with that new candidate.
Owen says that while things might seem a little confused now, Republicans don't have to worry about any disarray in their party once the Senate campaign really gets underway. This report brought to you by the Air National Guard. Aurora police officers are leading a campaign to finance a young man's fight against cancer. 20-year-old David Hernandez of Aurora was diagnosed with testicular cancer last August, which has since spread to his stomach and lungs.
I've undergone already 6 cycles of chemotherapy, which breaks down to about 42 sessions apiece. My cancer does not respond to traditional chemotherapy. I require a stem cell transplant, which is very similar to a bone marrow transplant. This, hopefully, procedure will be the life-saving procedure that my body requires.
This final option offers David a 40% chance for survival. Founded by Aurora officer Jim Seneca, Cops Fighting Cancer is an organization that will donate money for David and his folks to fly to New York. He's scheduled to leave for 6 long months of treatment on April 19th. For more information on how you can donate, call Cops Fighting Cancer at 303-739-6954. CDOT crews spent the early morning hours cleaning some huge boulders off I-70 near Silver Plume. CDOT's Gene Towns says more rock slides are most likely on the way.
People should be aware in the high country that this is a season for rock slides because of all of the wet ground that has been there as a result of what's happened over the winter. And spring snows, spring rains bring even more of a problem because it starts to soften up the ground even more underneath the rock areas.
Town says when you're driving in the high country, keep your eyes wide open and your speeds down. In sports, the DU Pioneers headed to the championship game in the NCAA Hockey Finals. DU beat Minnesota Duluth Bulldogs this afternoon. Pioneers will play the winner of tonight's Maine-Boston College game. That championship game will be held on Saturday. Colorado Avalanche beat the Dallas Stars 3-1 last night in the first game of the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Game 2 of the best-of-7 series tomorrow night at the Pepsi Center. Denver Nuggets won an important one in Phoenix last night, beating the Suns 111-96. Nuggets are tied for the 8th and final playoff spot in the West with Utah and Portland. Nuggets will be in Houston tomorrow to play the Rockies. Colorado Rockies finishing their 3-game series in Arizona tonight. Rocks won the first game, D-backs won last night. Money for college plus job skills from a part-time job? You bet. Fuel your future in the Air National Guard. Check it out online at goang.com. That's goang.com. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
Get your free AM 1150 KNRC coffee mug by going to our website, knrcradio.com. knrcradio.com. And then unlimited free refills at Sugar Beet Cafe with your mug. Just another way to say thanks for listening to AM 1150 KNRC. Wednesday on Court TV, an all-new, all-real Forensic Files. An ATM machine and a couple of how-to manuals. Do they add up to suicide?
There needed to be some additional investigation done.
Or murder.
Seemed like a normal marriage.
find out how forensic detectives unravel this twisted tale of lies and deceit.
She said, you could commit a murder and the police were not smart enough to catch you.
Forensic Files, Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific, only on Court TV, the investigation channel.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Scattered rain showers will be the call through this afternoon, tonight, and tomorrow, and then temperatures turn colder. And we're talking about snow showers on Friday night and possibly on Saturday. We'll top out around 59 for the high today, 39 for our overnight low, 47 on Friday, and temperatures in the upper 30s near 40 on Saturday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Partly cloudy and 62 now. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And with me, live in studio, is Brian Greene, author of a previous bestseller, The Elegant Universe. His new book is number 3, I think, on the New York Times bestseller list. The Fabric of the Cosmos, Space, Time, and the Texture of Reality, or what I like to say, what laughingly refers to itself as reality. Brian Greene, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
He'll be at Tattered Cover tonight, 7:30, Cherry Creek, and so will C-SPAN. They're going to be taping it for rebroadcast later. Do you know when it's going to be rebroadcast?
I don't think they've decided yet, but probably pretty soon.
You have a doctorate from Oxford?
I do.
And you are on the faculty of Columbia University, what, a professor of math?
Physics and mathematics.
And physics, okay. And you write, was it your first book, the previous book, The Elegant Universe?
Yes.
What prompts you to write that book, which also was a bestseller? What did you want to tell us in that book?
Well, that book was about the search for what Einstein called the unified theory. He had a dream that he articulated in the 1930s and 40s of finding a single theory that would be so powerful it might be able to describe everything in the physical universe from one idea, one master equation. And he never got to this unified theory. He worked for 30 years but never found it. And in our age, we have a new theory called string theory, and we think it may be what he was looking for. And The Elegant Universe was about string theory.
I want to talk to you about string theory because there are many dimensions in string theory. We're used to, what, 3 or 4 dimensions?
3 of space and 1 of time, and string theory says
it's 11 or 13 or something.
It's actually 11. That's
11.
Right, yeah.
Dimensions, and that's more dimensions than I can keep track of in a sentence.
Yeah, I agree. It's hard to really think of what they are, but we have ideas.
What do you think? What are some of the dimensions in string theory?
Well, they're very similar to the 3 spatial dimensions that we see, but they're tightly crumpled up, we think. So they're very, very small. They're all around us. So, for instance, if you take your hand and you swing it in front of your face, you might think you're just moving through the obvious dimensions, left, right, back, forth, and up, down. String theory says your hand is actually going around these other directions. It goes around them so many times and returns to its starting point so quickly that you don't even realize you took the journey, but the dimensions would be all around us.
Well, I think you lost me a few dimensions ago. I flashed on the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, which means that just watching an experiment can alter its outcome. So is that have any relationship whatever with string theory?
It does. Quantum mechanics is the framework within which Heisenberg's uncertainty principle fits. And what Einstein was trying to do was put together quantum mechanics and his own theory of gravity, which is called the general theory of relativity.
Well, I have a theory of levity, but we won't go into that. That's the opposite of gravity, usually.
Well, to tell you the truth, in general relativity, there is an anti-gravity possibility that we think is realized in the universe today. So gravity can push things apart. It doesn't only cause them to come back together. I'm not saying it explains levitation, but it does, we think, explain...
Well, levity, meaning having a laughing.
Good. I like
ho,
that.
Ho, ho.
Absolutely. But we think that this anti-gravity may explain why recent observations in the last few years have found that galaxies in space are rushing away from us ever more quickly, faster and faster over time. We think there's an outward push that comes from an anti-gravity force. So it's not as unfamiliar to us as you might think.
Well, this is all intriguing to me. My guest is Brian Green. His new book is The Fabric of the Cosmos, and I want to talk to you about the new book. He'll be at Tattered Covered Cherry Creek tonight, 7:30, and so will C-SPAN. When I look at these books, and these are elegantly written books, so congratulations to you. What were you trying to do with The Fabric of the Cosmos?
Well, The Fabric of the Cosmos is trying to trace our understanding of reality. It's asking the question, what has physics revealed to be real in the world around us? And the surprising thing is that physics comes to conclusions that are rather different from what you'd think based upon your everyday perceptions.
Give us an example. And before you do, I had, in my high school chemistry class, it was a revelation, and it was an unsettling revelation to learn that the things I thought of as solid were made of atoms and molecules, and it was extremely troubling to me to realize that because I couldn't square it with my perception that this, you know, chair in front of me seems solid.
Sure.
In fact, it's made up of moving atoms and molecules and
more
so
than
on.
That, it's mostly empty space. So in between the molecules and atoms is a lot of space, and within them there's a lot of empty space too. So things that are solid to the everyday eye and conception are actually not from the point of view of how they're actually put together.
All right, so then talk about our ideas of space and time.
Well, I think the sharpest break in our understanding of space and time from what your intuition makes you think in terms of the reality that physics reveals comes from Einstein's relativity. So Einstein taught us a while ago, for instance, that our understanding of time in physics is very different from what you would think. For instance, if you and I have identical wristwatches, they're good watches, and we synchronize them. You'd think that if we go about our daily lives and then we return and compare our watches, they'll still be synchronized. That's how we think time works. It's universal. It applies everywhere in the same manner. But Einstein proved, and experiments have shown that his calculations are true, that if you and I move relative to each other, when we return, our watches will not be synchronized. Time elapses at a different rate if we're moving relative to each other. Now, at everyday speeds, the lack of synchrony is so small, billionth of a second, that our watches won't really reveal it. But if we move quickly relative to each other, near the speed of light, for instance, when we return, time will be very different for you than for me. I might have aged 10 years, while you might have only aged 1 year.
And what will determine whether I only aged 1 year, the part I like hearing the most, where you aged 10 years?
Well, for instance, if I stand still on Earth's surface, and you have a real fancy rocket ship that allows you to go off in space really fast, near the speed of light. You go out, say, 6 months. You turn around, you come back for 6 months. You will have aged 1 year, 6 months out, 6 months back. But because you are moving, time for you would have slowed down compared with time for me. When you return, I may be 10 years older, or even 100 years older, or even 1 million years older if you went fast enough.
So it's like Rip Van Winkle,
yes,
a little bit.
Absolutely.
I went away, I took a nap, and when I woke up, it was 100 years later.
The only thing was you didn't need to nap. Life just went on as always in your spaceship. You could read, you could do whatever you would ordinarily do.
How much do these spaceships cost?
Well, unfortunately, we're talking a little bit hypothetical here. As you know, we can't
Botox would be cheaper.
Botox is a lot cheaper, and it's available today. But if you really want to have a ship that can do this, it would take incredible leaps of technology that we don't have the ability to perform as yet. But according to the laws of physics, putting details of building the ships aside, this is how the world really works. And this is unfamiliar. This is not how we think about time.
Give me another daily example that doesn't require a rocket ship or rocket science.
Well, here's the thing. Physics basically says that everyday experience is true, but it only reveals a very limited portion of reality. So one isn't trying to say that you shouldn't trust what you see in the world around you, but physics says that there's a deeper reality underlying the things that you experience that's very unfamiliar, very different. So we always need to go to an unfamiliar realm, either moving very fast or examining the universe on very small or very big scales, to recognize that the things that we take to be sacred about the world are not, because they don't show up when you move fast. They don't show up when you look at things on very small scales.
My guest is Brian Green. His new book is The Fabric of the Cosmos. So what does this mean about time travel?
Well, the example that we just discussed really, if you think about it, is a kind of time travel. It's time travel to the future, not the silly kind where one says that we all just aged 1 second, and we just went 1 second ahead again. No, We are leapfrogging into the future in that little scenario where you went out into the ship.
Can you leapfrog into the past?
Yeah, that's, of course, the natural question to follow up with. I think it's unlikely, but we've not proven that it's impossible. And to tell you the truth, there are some well-respected physicists who have suggested kinds of time machines that would allow you to travel to the past. Now, I hasten to add, when you study the proposals in any detail, you recognize that they really brush right up against the barriers of physics as we now understand it. And most of us believe that when we understand physics better, these proposals will be ruled out. But they haven't really been ruled out as of today. So it's still a very, very remote possibility.
So somebody who advocates time travel to the past, how do they see it happening?
I mean, what are the proposals that have been put forward? Well, the most easy to visualize one makes use of something called a wormhole, which I don't know if you watch Star Trek Deep Space Nine or you don't. You're shaking your head. Did you see the movie Contact with Jodie Foster?
I did, because a friend of mine was one of the voices in the film.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. Which voice?
I think it was when they were a voice of NASA.
Oh,
announcing something.
Yeah,
yeah,
sure, absolutely. So
Pam Wilsey. Cool. Because we know the director.
Well, here's the thing. Do you remember the scene where Jodie Foster is going through sort of this tunnel and she's going to a distant galaxy, the Galaxy Vega? I guess the movie didn't make a big impression.
No, I love the movie, but I don't remember that.
But anyway, so a wormhole is a tunnel through space. It's kind of like an ordinary tunnel that goes through a mountain, which is a shortcut. It allows you to go from one side of the mountain to the other without having to go all the way up the mountain and then all the way back down the other side. A wormhole through space is kind of similar. It's a shortcut from one place in the universe to another place in the universe. Now, we don't know if these wormholes truly exist. Our equations allow them to exist. We've never seen one, so this is very hypothetical. But here's the thing. If you have one of these tunnels through space and you move the openings relative to each other, time elapses at different rates, as we were talking about before, for the openings, which turns out to mean that the wormhole is no longer just a tunnel from one point in space to another. It's a tunnel from one moment in time to another. So if you go through the wormhole one direction, you go to the future. If you go through the wormhole the other direction, it would take you to the past.
So then is memory a shortcut to time travel?
Well, I think memory gives us access to moments in time that we can't literally experience in the now. So from that point of view, it's a psychological way of holding on to previous moments. But to my mind, when I'm talking about...
But you are experiencing it in the now when you go back, in your imagination.
Yeah, but I'm talking much more simple-minded kind of time travel, where you literally do something and find yourself in an era that's a different temporal epoch than the one you started. You go to the newspaper stand in this era, you look at what it says, and it says January 1, 2020, or it says January 1, 1940. That's the kind of time travel that I'm really referring to here.
How does somebody who is a professor of math and physics decide that he wants to write a book? Many of your colleagues have written books, probably scientific treatises on this and that. How is it that you decide to write a book for popular consumption? Is it that you have learned so much that is not so widely known in the popular realm that you think people would be intrigued by it? Is that really was the impetus?
Yeah, I mean, for my first book, I was out giving public lectures. There are a variety of lecture series around the country, and sometimes they like to hear about science. So I gave some public lectures on relativity and quantum theory and string theory. And after the lectures, people would often come up and say, I really enjoyed it. What can I read to further my understanding? And, for instance, there wasn't anything out there on string theory at that time, which was the late 1990s. So I decided to try to write a book that would allow the interested reader who had no math training, who had no physics training, to come along for the ride. I mean, what we're doing should not be limited to a small group of researchers. The ideas that we are studying and the advances we're making are part of a journey that the ancient Greeks set us on 2,500 years ago to understand the universe at the deepest level. And I think anybody who wants to know what's going on should be able to participate in. That's really the point for writing these books.
When we have missions that go out exploring the universe, like Rover on Mars and Hubble looking out at the universe and bringing us back remarkable information, they want to close down Hubble. You have an opinion. I think it's the dumbest thing in the world, but I wonder what you think.
No, it's horrible. I mean, the Hubble has really allowed our understanding of the universe to take a real big leap forward, and it's a fantastic instrument. It has revealed so much about the cosmos. And it's there.
What things about the cosmos has been revealed with Hubble, maybe even Rover, other mechanical, you know, other things that we've sent out?
So many things. Just to
that
give you,
that
you
surprise
know.
You.
So 10 years ago, the field of cosmology, which is the study of how the universe began and evolved to the form that we now see, was not a very rigorous science. We had a variety of interesting ideas about how the universe began. We had a variety of interesting thoughts about how it had evolved. But it was all a very flexible subject because we didn't have good data. Then with the Hubble and with other telescopes that have chipped in as well, we have such precise data about how old the universe is. We have precise data about the temperature. If you're out in space, the temperature of the so-called microwave background radiation.
What's the temperature?
2.7 degrees Kelvin, plus or minus one part in 10,000. And this kind of precision observation of the universe allows us to throw away theories that no longer match the data. It allows us to refine our understanding in a way that would be impossible without the kinds of observations that Hubble is giving us.
So how was the universe created?
Well,
no more Big Bang?
We're still struggling. Well, the Big Bang was never a theory of how the universe began. Many people think that it was because we often portray it like that. But the Big Bang has always been a theory about how the universe evolved from a split second after whatever happened to bring it into existence in the first place. And we have been unable with conventional ideas to turn the cosmic clock all the way back to the beginning because the conventional equations break down when we try to apply them at the start of the universe. So there's been a kind of barrier in our understanding as to what really got the universe going. And string theory, the theory that I work on, has the potential, it hasn't realized it yet, but it has the potential to be a theory that won't break down, a theory that may answer your question of how things really started.
In some ways, it sounds like what we are, ants on the tusk of an elephant, so now we think that the elephant is completely made of ivory. For a long time, I thought that, remember how Australia was like a penal colony?
Yes.
For the British? I think that when we do some traveling and we find other beings in the universe, which I'm assuming they have to exist, don't you think?
I think it's probably true.
Probably true.
But just a gut, I don't have any evidence. But yes, I think you're right.
All right. When we find those people out, here's what's going to happen. The Earth is going to be like Australia. We're going to be like the lowest form on the food chain. We'll be like house pets to these more evolved. I'm assuming they're going to be more evolved, that they couldn't possibly be less evolved than we are.
What makes you say that?
I don't know, but they could be. There could be some really trolls
right.
out there.
You
I don't know.
Right.
But we think we're so smart and we're going to be like lapdogs to these other evolved beings in the universe.
You may be right. But
we're like goldfish guppies, something like that.
Let me just put out one idea, which at least gives me some hope that what you're saying may not be true. Indeed, we are stuck on this little rock orbiting the sun in this rather ordinary galaxy called the Milky Way, which is one of 100 billion galaxies, each of which has 100 billion stars. I mean, there's so much out there. But when we use our telescopes to look out into space, we can look very far. We can look 8 billion, 9 billion light years, 10 billion light years away. That's almost to the edge of the known universe. And when we look out there, when we analyze the data, it seems to all conform to the laws of physics that we have developed here on Earth. So it seems that the laws of physics that we think about may work everywhere in the cosmos. So it may not be that we are on the tusk of the elephant and we think that everything's made of ivory. It could be that what we are thinking about are laws that really work everywhere.
My guest is Brian Greene. His new book, The Fabric of the Cosmos. You can meet him tonight at Tattered Cover, Cherry Creek, 7:30. C-SPAN will be there. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150, KNRC.
Want to hit the fan while you are hitting the sack?
The worst is yet to come.
Find out mornings with Dick Kelsey during the Jenny Lakey Show, exclusively on AM 1150, KNRC.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies.
All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLO-NASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Huh?
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLO-NASE. Allergy rewards program subject to eligibility.
AM 1150 KNRC, Radio Disney, and the Denver Zoo are teaming up to celebrate the return of spring during Great to Be Green on Saturday, April 10th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Denver Zoo. Bring the whole family. There will be lots of great events for kids like a scavenger hunt, close-up encounters with wild animals, and an opportunity to learn how to help save animals all over the world. Great to Be Green this Saturday at the Denver Zoo, brought to you by Radio Disney and AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Steve North, CNBC Business Radio. It was a day of quiet trading and light volume, with many investors and traders off for the holidays. The Dow closed down 38 points at 10,442. The Nasdaq was up nearly 3, finishing at 2,053. The markets are closed tomorrow. The Senate has passed legislation that will save businesses at least $80 billion in pension contributions over the next 2 years. The White House has said the president will sign this version of the bill. The government today filed the first criminal charges against a company in connection with the California energy crisis in 2000. Attorney General John Ashcroft says the federal indictment accuses Reliant Energy Services of illegally driving up prices by shutting down two power plants. The firm could face fines of up to $500 million. And speaking of fines, the FCC has proposed a nearly $500,000 fine for Clear Channel Communications. That's due to supposedly indecent broadcasts by Howard Stern. Steve North, CNBC Business Radio.
Your oldest has just turned driving age. Time to add them to your policy. So you get in your car, drive down to your insurance company. Hunt for a space, double park, get a parking ticket, get in a fight with the meter maid, get thrown in jail, meet a guy named Wally. Wait a minute. This is just a bad dream. You've got Geico. You don't have to drive anywhere. You can do all that car insurance stuff online. Oh, that was a close one.
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO. Online at geico.com.
In a perfect world, your baby would actually sleep like a baby. Peas and carrots would go into his mouth as easily as everything else does. And you wouldn't have to change a diaper immediately after changing a diaper. But the world isn't perfect, so there's Walgreens, with diapers, wipes, formula, and everything else you need for your perfect little bundle of joy. That's life. This is Walgreens.
Save with Walgreens brand baby supplies. High quality, low price.
My name is Sylvia. I teach kindergarten. All I want to say is that Jim Lakey keeps calling me. And we broke up in high school, so tell him to stop. It wasn't funny then, and it's not funny now.
Jimmy Lakey, weekday mornings at 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:29 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and with me live in studio is Brian Greene, his new book, The Fabric of the Cosmos. It's number 3 on the New York Times nonfiction list. He will be at Tatter Cover Cherry Creek tonight at 7:30, so will C-SPAN, so you can get yourself on television and get yourself a little bit of an education about the cosmos, which I find endlessly fascinating. I'm asking the dumbest questions you can imagine in the brain.
They're good questions.
Are they? Thank you for being so nice. All right, how do we know that the universe has any limits? Supposing that it's infinite.
Well, it could be. And in fact, as far as space goes, we definitely take very serious the possibility that space could go on forever. Namely, you walk out into space.
He woke out for a pack of cigarettes, and he never came back. And that's where they all are now. They're in space, floating around.
The alternate possibility, though, is that you could walk out or take a ship and go out into space and travel for a while, and maybe you wind up returning to your starting point, sort of when you go out on the surface of the Earth. You go out, and if you keep on walking and go through the water and so forth, you would return because the Earth's surface is a ball. It's a sphere. It could be that the universe has a similar shape.
You would have so many bunions by that time. It would really. You got to have Dr. Scholl on the case. My guest is Brian Greene. Brian, let me ask you. You were talking earlier about quantum mechanics or quantum physics. I think it's also called.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, in the 1920s and 1930s, physicists realized that when they tried to apply older ideas, that had been developed in the late 1800s, when they tried to apply those ideas to molecules and atoms, which were newly discovered in the early part of the 20th century, the older ideas just didn't work. They gave predictions about molecules and atoms that were not borne out by experiment. So they knew that a new theory to describe the micro world had to be developed. And quantum mechanics is the theory that they came up with.
And what does quantum mechanics say?
Well, it says a lot, but I'd say the key distinction of quantum mechanics relative to all previous ways of thinking about the universe is this. According to Newton, according to Einstein, physics works in the following manner. You tell me how things are today, and I use my understanding of the laws to predict how they will be tomorrow. I know where the moon is today, I predict what it will look like tomorrow. I know where the sun is, and I predict the Earth's motion relative to the sun and so forth. Quantum theory says that that kind of reasoning might work in the realm of the big, stars, galaxies, planets, moon, and so forth, but in the realm of the small, you can't predict anything with complete certainty. It says that the world is fundamentally governed by an element of chance. It says the best you can do, if I know how things are today, is predict the probability that things will be this way or that way tomorrow. Quantum theory says there might be a 12% chance that things will turn out like this, a 4% chance of that, maybe a 70% chance of that, and that's the best you can do. There's this fundamental element of uncertainty. As you mentioned before, Heisenberg's uncertainty is what requires that the world is governed by probabilities, a very new way of thinking about how the world works.
Napoleon once said, "I don't want good generals, I want lucky generals." So knowing that there's an element of randomness in the universe, a quite a large element of randomness in the universe, how do you corral the randomness to work in your favor? Is there any way of doing that?
Not really.
It's an odd question.
No,
I know,
no, I understand it. I understand the intuition behind it. Not really, because as far as we can tell, this randomness is fundamentally beyond our ability to control. So the world has this inbuilt uncertainty. It has this inbuilt probabilistic character. And there's no way for us to tip the odds in our favor.
So get over it and get used to it.
Well, yeah.
Because everything that's sold to us is sold to us. There's much manipulation by fear. There's much manipulation by security. And if you analyze a lot of things that are sold to you as being as increasing your security, you realize you're holding on to a subway strap that is in reality attached to nothing.
To nothing, yes.
Yeah, usually to a large premium. I always like death, you know, insurance. What do they call it when you die? Life insurance. You know, like you're going to live forever.
You're right.
I never understood life insurance.
But let me emphasize one point about the probabilities that's probably worth saying. So when you say you have to get used to it, indeed we do need to get used to this idea of probabilities applying to the microworld of molecules and atoms. It does also apply on larger scales, but here's the thing. Quantum theory shows that when objects get big, the probabilities do become highly skewed. There is like a 99.999% chance that I will still be sitting in this chair 1 second from now. Quantum theory says there was actually a small probability that I would fall through the chair. Now, I don't
well,
worry.
You would if there was something wrong with that chair.
But even without there being something wrong with it, quantum theory says I can actually pass right through it. But the thing is, the probability of that happening is so incredibly tiny that we don't think about it, we don't worry about it, we never experience it. So the probabilities are there, even in everyday life, but they're so highly skewed that we don't even take notice of them.
You said earlier that when we're talking about the limits of the universe, if there are limits, I know, how do we know where they are? But it looks like in the data that is coming back to us that the laws of physics apply. Does that argue for an intelligent being in the universe, God, whatever, the divine, whatever you want to call it, a certain intelligence in the universe?
Some would say so. I don't. My own feeling is that it could be that there is a divine being who has set up the laws. Perhaps set up the laws for
us to
discover
them. That's why they're randomness. They govern by whim.
It could be. I absolutely agree that these are possibilities because in physics, we can never rule out the possibility that there's a divine being behind everything we've discovered who has set it up for us to discover as we have. I don't see any evidence for that, so I don't think it in my gut, but it is possible. But my own view is this. If what we're doing is discovering God's laws, that's pretty cool. I'm happy to be part of a journey to do that. If what we're doing instead is just finding the laws which govern the beginning of the universe and perhaps how it will evolve for 100 billion years into the future, and the laws are all there is, no divine being, I think that's pretty cool, and I'm happy to be part of that journey. So regardless of the framework, the work really is the same.
How did it happen that the laws of physics govern in so subtle and not subtle away that this immensity of a cosmos so enormous that it's impossible to conceive of it?
Well, that's a hugely deep question, and I wish I had a good answer for it. You know, Newton was perhaps the first person to recognize that for some reason you can write down a few lines of mathematics and it really can describe the motion of the moon or the motion of an apple falling from a tree. Why is it that the world is so regular so that its behavior can be encapsulated in a few lines of symbols? I don't know. But ever since then, the laws of Einstein, the laws of quantum theory have shown time and again that we can describe a wealth of phenomenon with a few principles. Few principles described in the language of math. Why is that? I don't know. It's amazing that it's true. It's wonderful that it's true. It gives us such power. We can calculate on a piece of paper and tell you things about the world that's out there. That's great power. But why is it like that? I don't know.
When I was a little girl, I grew up on a farm, and I would look up in the skies, and particularly on a summer's night, looking at stars and trying to imagine other worlds. And it always took an immense hold on me because you could imagine all kinds of things that you could not, you couldn't comprehend, but you could invoke your imagination about. So whenever I see books like yours, Brian Greene, I'm always intrigued and sort of seduced. And it makes me wonder about some of the more fanciful versions that I of what laughingly refers to itself as reality that I encounter, such as there could be other evolved forms of life in the universe. This is such an enormous cosmos that that's a possibility. Sure. And then we read stories about maybe long time ago, maybe thousands of years ago, some evolved form came down and got things organized for us as we know it. But we don't have any evidence about that.
Yeah, people suggest evidence for us being visited, and I can't say that I've ever studied it really closely, but anything that I have seen seemed completely unconvincing. So while definitely in a huge, enormous cosmos of which we are a small part, I am sure that there is enormous stuff out there that we know nothing about that would surprise us immensely, and perhaps it involves other beings that have traveled here. I don't know, but I haven't seen any evidence that's convincing.
How has your perception been changed doing what you do and in the research for writing the fabric of the cosmos and the information coming back from Hubble, let's say? How are you surprised?
Well, I find it completely mind-blowing that we are seriously contemplating the ideas of physics today that do suggest that there are more dimensions in the world around us than the ones that we see.
I cannot get my head around those 11 dimensions.
Yeah, I mean,
can you name what they are dimensions?
We name them mathematically. We don't give them any sort of cute everyday word names, unfortunately. But they fit into our equations in a very natural way. But, you know, let me just give you another quick analogy to try to get across this idea of dimension. So take a piece of paper. On a flat piece of paper, there are two dimensions that you can think about as, say, left and right and up and down, the two dimensions on the sheet. Now roll that sheet of paper into a tube. The tube still has two dimensions. I haven't destroyed a dimension by rolling it up, but I have changed the character of one of the dimensions. You see, the left-right dimension of the tube is still there, but up-down of the original flat piece of paper has now been turned into a circular direction, clockwise and counterclockwise around the tube. Now imagine that I twist up the tube tighter and tighter and tighter, making a circular cross-section smaller and smaller. At some point, you won't even see that there is a circular cross-section. You'll only see the length of the tube. So you'll only be aware of the big, obvious dimension of the paper. The smaller one, the curled-up one, becomes more difficult to see. We think the universe might be the same way. Left, right, back, forth, and up, down are big, easy-to-see dimensions, like the horizontal extent of the tube. But the curled-up part of the tube could manifest itself in the world as curled-up dimensions, curled up so tiny that we don't see them. That's, I think, gives you perhaps some rough sense of them.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm delighted that you could come in. Brian Greene, author of The Fabric of the Cosmos. You can meet him tonight. Tatter Cover, Cherry Creek, 7:30. C-SPAN will be there. You be there, too. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150, KNRC. 2:40, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Cloudy. We are starting to see some showers. It's 59 degrees now. Falling rocks caused some problems on I-70 early this morning. I'll check that story in a moment, but let's check traffic first with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Everything moving along on the freeway system in pretty good shape here in town. No accidents or stalls blocking traffic. Biggest problem we've been able to find is an awful lot of fogs on I-25 in either direction between Monument and Colorado Springs. And in some cases, that fog is right down on the deck. So allow yourself a little extra time if you're heading south out of the metropolitan area this afternoon. 12th and Caroni may have a little bit of slowing left over after an earlier accident. Delta Airlines now serving New York's JFK International Airport with two nonstop flights daily. So traveling to the Big Apple or continuing across the Big Pond, Delta gets you there. I'm Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Yeah, it's rock slide season in the high country, and a big one shut down I-70 early this morning. About a half dozen boulders, some 8 feet across, came down on the highway just after one this morning. CDOT crews had the road completely reopened by 10 this morning. This report brought to you by D.R. Horton Melody Series. A man who's currently behind bars in Colorado is wanted in Arizona in connection with a sexual assault case dating back to 1986. DNA technology helped connect the man to the case of a woman who was kidnapped and sexually assaulted in Arizona 18 years ago. Anthony Morris faces extradition later this month when he's paroled. A lot of people are having a tough time paying their mortgages. Home foreclosures in the Denver area during the first quarter of this year up 67% over the same period last year, partly to blame the economy and companies outsourcing jobs. D.R. Horton, America's Builder Melody Series, owned for under $1,000 a month. No down, no closing cost programs available. Visit MelodyLiving.com or call them at 1-866-MELODY-H. Your exclusive weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 2:42.
Sure, Denver has its share of talk stations, but we talk about what's important.
I would advise you to increase your knowledge.
Hear both sides on Denver's premier talk station, AM 1150, KNRC.
Beginning April 11th, the History Channel is proud to bring you the Emmy Award-winning epic, Band of Brothers. The true story of the men of Easy Company who defined courage for a generation of Americans. The Chicago Sun-Times says it's the best miniseries in the history of television. Band of Brothers, executive produced by Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg. Sunday night at 9, 8 Central, only on the History Channel. Give it a hero's welcome.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. The rain shower activity has been spotty and mainly to the north of us, but we keep the opportunity for wet weather and maybe even a rumble of thunder around the Denver area through this afternoon and tonight. A high of 59, a low of 39. Scattered showers, isolated thunderstorms, the call for Friday. And then as colder air moves in, we're talking about snow showers Friday night and Saturday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Cloudy and 59 now with some scattered showers. KNRC News Time is 2:43. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Been wondering how to get started investing in real estate? Call Mile High Capital Group. They're experts in rental duplexes, a great way for an individual to get started in real estate investing. They handle everything from finding the right lot in the right area where your new duplex can cash flow from day one, building the duplex, and even managing it for you if you wish. So this can be real carefree real estate investing. If you can afford just 10% down, about $30,000, you can be on your way to financial security. It's a fact. If you had acted on this investment strategy of investing in Colorado rental duplexes 10 years ago, you would have averaged nearly a 100% return per year for the last 10 years. Compare that to the stock market. Call Mike at Mile High Capital Group for complete no obligation details and tell them you heard about them on AM 1150 KNRC. 303-683-8500. That's 303-683-8500. Or visit them at milehighcapital.com. It may be the most important call you ever make.
I'm Tony Desiri with your Masters Golf Tournament update. Play has been suspended at Augusta National Golf Club due to lightning in the area. They do expect play to resume today, but anybody familiar with the weather situations in Georgia know that that's no guarantee. Right now, Justin Rose is the leader in the clubhouse. The 23-year-old Englishman shot a 67 opening round. Chris DeMarco helped by a hole-in-one on the sixth hole. He is in at 3 under par. Other notables, Tiger Woods is 4 over at the turn. So is defending champ Mike Weir. Phil Mickelson shot at opening round 72. Again, play has been suspended at Augusta National Golf Club. Justin Rose is the clubhouse leader at minus five. I'm Tony DeZuri, and this has been your Masters Golf Tournament Update on AM 1150 KNRC.
The KNRC talk version of American Idol is Saturday nights at 8 p.m.
Oh,
that's awful. No, there is no singing involved, but we will be offering new talk show hosts for your review. More live and local talk than any other Denver talk radio station. AM 1150, KNRC.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150, KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:45 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. We have had two fabulous guests today. We've had Laura Flanders, and we have had Dr. Brian Green, and both are at Tattered Covers at 7:30, so you've got a rich choice. One is at Lodo, that's Laura Flanders, tonight at 7:30, and Brian Green is going to be at Tattered Cover Cherry Creek tonight at 7:30, and C-SPAN will be on that one taping the show. So we've been talking about the cosmos, we've been talking about Condoleezza Rice, and we have been talking about the testimony. We've been talking about a lot of different things as usual. We have been all over the place today, but mostly on the Condoleezza Rice testimony. I'm getting tons of emails from you about Condoleezza Rice, and I think in the coming days we're going to be seeing whatever the cracks are that emerge. I mean, she certainly was a loyal soldier. She's certainly talented at what she does. I just don't think she's a very good national security advisor, and I don't think that the way the administration handled 9/11 is anything to be proud of. 303-382-1150. You wouldn't even have this 9/11 commission if it weren't for the widows. They call themselves the Jersey Girls. They're four women who really have not had a whole lot of experience outside of the household, and they have forced to become experienced in the ways of the media and in the ways of Washington and so forth to get this commission going. Robert Reich, who was the labor secretary in the Clinton administration and attended Oxford as a Rhodes Scholar with Clinton, talks about what you can expect if you get a second term with Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Dickie. Musings about a second Bush term typically assume another 4 years of the same right-wing policies we've had to date. But he says it's going to be far worse, likely to be far worse. Suppose Dickie wins a second term. The constraint of a re-election contest is going to be gone. Knowing that the voters can no longer turn them out, this is going to be their last shot at remaking America, just the way they have done in Iraq, as a matter of fact, as I think about it. And he believes that the radical conservatives will be unleashed. He says a friend who specializes in foreign policy and hobnobs with sub-cabinet officials in the Defense and State Departments told me that the only thing that stopped the Bushies from storming into Iran and North Korea is the upcoming election. If Bush is reelected, Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld are out of the box, he said. They'll take Bush's reelection as a mandate to wage a war on terror, so they'll go after Iran and North Korea. That's what they're thinking. Second term's defense team will be even harder lined than the current one. Colin Powell will go. Condoleezza Rice will take over the State Department. Rumsfeld will consolidate power as the president's national security advisor. And Wolfowitz will run the Defense Department. Domestic policy will swing further right, Robert Reich theorizes. A reelection would strengthen the White House's hand on issues that even many congressional Republicans have a hard time accepting, such as the assault on civil liberties. Bush will seek to push Patriot 2 through Congress, giving the Justice Department and the FBI powers to inspect mail, eavesdrop on phone conversations and email, and examine personal medical records, insurance claims, and bank accounts. You know, all the kinds of privacy issues that they don't want to reveal about how the government is conducted. This is the very government that we pay the bills for. We are paying them to do their jobs. They don't want to reveal anything, but they want to know everything about all of us. Economic policy, meanwhile, will be tilted even more brazenly toward the rich, Robert Reich goes on to say. Republican strategist Grover Norquist smugly predicts larger tax benefits for high earners in a second Bush administration. The goal will be to eliminate all taxes on capital gains, dividends, and other forms of unearned income and move toward a flat tax. The plan will be for deficits to continue to balloon until Wall Street demands large spending cuts as a condition for holding down long-term interest rates. Homeowners facing potential losses on their major nest eggs as mortgage rates move upward might be persuaded to join the chorus In consequence, Bush will slash all domestic spending outside of defense. He will also argue that Social Security cannot be maintained in its present form and will push for legislation to transform it into private accounts, which, by the way, Wall Street is salivating over the prospect of. Meanwhile, the few shards of regulation still protecting the environment and the safety of American workers will be eliminated. Sandra Day O'Connor, Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, will surely step down from the Supreme Court, possibly joined by at least one other jurist, opening the way for the White House to nominate a series of right-wing justices, a list that could easily include Charles Pickering Sr. and William Pryor Jr. After Chief Justice Rehnquist resigns, Bush may well nominate Scalia, oh God help us, for the top slot, opening the way for Scalia and Clarence Thomas, oh no, to dominate the court. Such a court will curtail abortion rights, whittle down the Fourth and Fifth Amendments, and all affirmative action, even though Bush, Dickey, has benefited from affirmative action, and eliminate much of what's left of the barrier between church and state. Karl Rove and Tom DeLay, meanwhile, will have four more years to fulfill their goal of transforming American democracy into a one-party state. Congressional redistricting across the nation will make Texas' recent antics seem a model of democratic deliberation. Automated voting machines will easily be rigged with no paper trails to document abuses. Changes in campaign finance laws will permit larger hard money donations by corporate executives and federal contractors who have benefited by Republican policies. Finally, the FCC will allow three or four giant media empires, which is pretty much the case right now, all tightly connected to the Republican Party, to consolidate their ownership over all TV and radio broadcasting. Nothing is more dangerous to a republic than fanatics, unconstrained by Democratic politics. Yet in a second term of this administration, that's exactly what we will have. Robert Reich, who is the former labor secretary in the Clinton administration, what do you think about what he's got to say? I think that if this were a solicitation letter, I'd be writing him a check, is what I think. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Soon to be the most listened to station in Colorado.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
What the devil is that gosling noise?
Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Right now, Pep Boys Express brand name oil change is just $16.88. Choose from Castrol, Pennzoil, Valvoline, Quaker State, or others in a half hour, or it's free. See store for details. Pep Boys, parts, service, and so much more.
Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you. Former Tonight Show band leader Doc Severinsen leads the Colorado Symphony Orchestra and From Russia with Doc on April 9th and 10th. Tickets start at just $12. Tickets available at all King Supers Tickets West outlets and online at coloradosymphony.org. And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100 for your KNRC listener offer. The Colorado Symphony Orchestra, the sound of your life.
KNRC Community Commitment.
For more than 90 years, the Children's Hospital has provided clinical care, research, education, and advocacy for children. Enjoy a day of shopping on Saturday, April 24th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Two Crazy Ladies with a percentage of every sale to benefit the Children's Hospital. Purchase name brand clothing and accessories from Calvin Klein, DKNY, Ralph Lauren, Jones of New York, Tommy Hilfiger, Eddie Bauer, and more at below wholesale prices at Two Crazy Ladies located at 5686 Logan Court.
Hi, Jim Conder here, host of KNRC's Culture Buzz. Join me Thursday evening at 6 as I go deeper into movies with local film critics Tom DeLappa and Walter Chow. We'll have a fast, freewheeling discussion about the latest movies opening in the Denver area. You'll hear short reviews of the week's premieres, hear which films you should avoid and which films you don't want to miss. Plus, we'll fill you in about the latest film in Madstone Theater's new Premiere Pick Series and tell you how you can win passes to see it. Visit knrcradio.com for more information.
I'm Philip. I work in IT.
You think you know me.
You think you know what it's like sitting in traffic at I-25 in Hampton with the AC broken and my Doug Kellett show getting walked all over by some punk kid subwoofer.
Doug Kellett, weekdays from 3 to 6 on AM 1150 KNRC. And And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:55 on the Thursday edition of Enid Live. Tomorrow we're going to be live from the Denver Press Club. Everybody's going to be out and about. The morning show is going to be at the Sugar Beet Cafe. Doug is going to be at Bennett's Barbecue. I'm going to be at the Press Club, and we're going to be doing the Bizball edition of the Press Club. And we don't have a clue as to who's going to be. Do we know who's going to be on, Joe Anderson? All kinds of historians, fan clubs, baseball memorabilia experts. Are we going to have any players on or managers or any of that? We don't know. John Enslin produces our press club shows, and lately he's been out of pocket, which is not a great sign, but listen anyway. And the public is invited when we do the live from the Denver Press Club shows. Normally you'd have to be a member to come in and have lunch at the press club, but the food's really good. We have a great chef, Chef Daniel Young. And very reasonably priced lunches. And so if you're in the neighborhood tomorrow and they're on Glen Arm between 13th and 14th, right across from the DAC Denver Athletic Club, come on in and join us. We usually have a pretty nice crowd at lunch. And they didn't used to have anybody at lunch, but I think we're helping to bring a few people in. So that's kind of nice. I like that. Also, State of Colorado tomorrow morning from 9 to 10, as always, hosted by John Enslin and Bruce Goldberg. They're going to be doing that. And next week, we're going to be joined by Craig Unger, House of Bush, House of Saud is the book. Many of you have been interested in it and have asked me to try and get him on. So we're doing that. We're trying to get a lot of really good people on as well. And I have a lot of emails that have been coming in. Also, I just want to let you know, too, that next week I'm going to be out I'll be with you on Monday and Tuesday of next week. And then I'll be in San Francisco Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday I'll be off. And I'll be back with you the following Monday in time to be at the Tattered Cover Lodo, 7 o'clock, to help lead a book discussion. One Book, One Denver, Peace Like a River, which I haven't read yet, but I'm going to get onto it over the weekend if I can do that. What we've been talking about today, if you are just tuning in, you've missed a great deal. We've been talking a lot about Condoleezza Rice's testimony. I've been getting great emails. I don't often get feedback from you on my guests, but Crystal just emailed me, thank you for the fabulous interview with Brian Greene. With the current political climate, Iraq war, and general negative mood, and apparent downward spiral of humankind, it was refreshing to listen to Brian Greene's optimism and obvious intelligence. See, it's all there. It really is all there. Let's see, what else? We're talking about... there's just a million different comments about the Bush administration. I was listening to your show today and thought it was great. Rice and her testimony was incredible. I can't believe how undemocratic the Bush administration actually is. Oh, one of you just emailed me about how we're all just sort of, you know, the rest of us are working stiffs. And these guys who are supposed to be in charge of protecting us, keeping us safe, what did they really do for us? The emailer says, oh, here it is. It's Pam. Pam says, why we pay big bucks for intelligence agents and a president and executive branch when they plead ignorance on 9/11 as if they were common working stiffs like you and me who don't have time to track terrorists. When they intercept terrorist chatter that warns of an imminent attack, isn't it their 40-hour-a-week job to figure out when and where the attack will happen? Why do Americans give them a pass on their lame excuses? They might just as well spend their days on breaks and 3 martini lunches if we expect so little of them. Thanks for letting me vent. Signed, Pam. Pam, I think you're absolutely right about that. This is their job. This is what we elected them to do. We're doing our jobs here. They should be doing their jobs there. They have a million reasons why they didn't. The only one I didn't hear from Condoleezza Rice was that the dog ate her intelligence report. That's the only one I didn't hear. Let's do this again tomorrow. I have a lot of people I want to thank. Joe Anderson, thank you for doing a great job today. Thank you, Sean McKenzie, for keeping us on the air all week long. Thanks to all of you who called and listened. Let's do it again tomorrow, noon to 3. Only tomorrow we will be live from the Denver Press Club. Doug Kellett up next from 3 to 6 right here on AM 1150 KNRC. And remember, State of Colorado tomorrow morning, 9 to 10, hosted by John Enslin and Bruce Goldberg. I mean it, Goldstein. Do something generous, will you? Try to leave the world a better place than you found it. I don't care what kind of a mess you're confronted with, a relationship problem with your kids, family, cleaning up a drawer, clean it up and your life will be changed.
Time now for the 180-degree turn to the right. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm John Siegenthaler. No apologies, just sorrow and anger. That's how Condoleezza Rice described her reaction to the events of September 11, 2001. She told the 9/11 Commission there was no way to predict those tragic events, but the administration's response was swift.
The FBI tasked all 56 of its U.S. field offices to increase surveillance of known suspect terrorists and to reach out to known informants who might have information on terrorist activities.
Fighting continues around Fallujah, Iraq, as coalition forces continue their offensive. Therefore, more U.S. deaths are reported. Iraqi insurgents continue to hold five foreign hostages. The gunmen are threatening to kill three Japanese civilians unless Japan pulls out of Iraq. And federal criminal charges for a California power company. Reliant Energy is the first company to be charged in connection with the California energy crisis. I'm John Siegenthaler, NBC News Radio.
Get the good stuff.
Did you know that dirt and grime can add years to your car's appearance? So stop by your nearest Napa Auto Parts store and stock up on 64.